Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table, we dance when we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off to bed in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't
Aziz the Terrible. All rise for the King, Shazam the Terrible, and the Knights of the Round Table.
If I were the devil, if I were the devil, if I were the Prince of Darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, Our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
Awe, 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 awe nothing happening here. But what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, children, what's that sound?
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures
pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. From North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land, we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hello everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table with old King Shazuz the Terrible, and appears that the knights are all out fighting dragons or snoozing, getting a siesta or whatever. Anyway, if you jump over to ShazuzRadio.com, there in the chat room, I put in a couple videos in there with the question mark after them and all that kind of stuff. You know, that first video there, you just have to listen to it. But at the end of the whole deal, it's like, you know, if 100 people send me $10 or whatever, you know, I got my concerns on this old internet thing and sending money across to people I just don't know. It just, it's gotta just be me. And anyway, the second video over there is a, you just gotta listen to it as well. You know, it's talking about everything in this world's got to do with money. You know, people out there, there's one heck of a gun trade going on throughout the entire world. You know, on one hand, you got all the gun control advocates that want to get control of all the firearms in America and basically get rid of the Second Amendment. And that way there ain't nobody to fight back against a tyrannical government and so on and so forth. But either way, we've all discussed all these things and been down this road time and time and time again. That second video also talks about fear, keeping people in fear to keep them in the war and keep selling them stuff. You know, it's all about making a whole lot of money. And I typed a comment down there in the chat room, says, if I were the devil, I would run around smacking everyone with a banjo. What kind of sense does that make? Well, it just makes about as much sense as this entire world. It doesn't make any sense at all. You know, there's folks out there that don't believe there is a devil. You know, if there ain't, there sure is something evil in this world. It's it's just mind-boggling. The jump on the doggone, I think I might play just a second of this right here. Little commentary or something. Alright, here we go. This is off of RT, the Kaiser Report.
Welcome to the Kaiser Report. I'm Max Kaiser. You know, in the film Unforgiven, the outlaw William Money said, quote, "It's a hell of a thing, killing a man. They take away everything he's got and all he's ever gonna have." I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that sounds a whole lot like neoliberalism. Taking away everything you've got, one contract at a time, until finally, you've got nothing, and then you're dead. preferably thanks to a Hellfire missile fired from some predatory drone. Or I should say, predator drone. Stacey?
It is a predatory drone as well, because it's predatory capitalism. And the first headline is, Big Banks Analyst Worries That Iran Deal Could Depress Weapons Sales. So, you know that there's this alleged deal that could possibly happen with Iran. Well, an analyst from Deutsche Bank was very concerned about this. The possibility of an Iran nuclear deal depressing weapons sales was raised by Miles Walton, an analyst from Germany's Deutsche Bank, during a Lockheed earnings call this past January 27th. Walton asked Marilyn Houston, the chief executive of Lockheed Martin, if an Iran agreement could, quote, impede what you see as progress in foreign military sales. She said, don't worry, because a lot of volatility, a lot of instability, a lot of things that are happening in both the Middle East and the Asia-Pacific region means that these are growth areas for Lockheed Martin.
Well, war is a Ponzi scheme fed by dead bodies. And I think you got to understand that these so-called wars are nothing more than ways to enrich the defense contractors and the neocons. I think the Vietnam War, America lost, what, 58,000 servicemen, but it made a lot of people very, very, very rich in America. And those people went on to become the neocons of the 21st century, and they love to start wars for a profit. Whether it's Victoria Nuland starting a war in Ukraine against Russia, that's purely for profit. There's no ideology attached other than, I want to get as rich as I possibly can, as quick as I possibly can, because I'm a psycho.
Well, it's interesting, though, that the likes of Deutsche Bank would be, their analysts would be concerned about what the future profitability and a peace deal is something that they're concerned about, whether or not they should warn their, you know, investors.
Yeah, they're worried about whether they run out of dead bodies. Yeah. Just like any other, Bernie Madoff, he needed fresh suckers to give him money to keep the Ponzi scheme going. These folks are saying, this report from Deutsche Bank is saying, what if we run out of dead bodies? What if we stop killing people for convenience? What will happen to our profits and our banks collateralized by all these dead bodies?
Well, as they also point out, it's that there aren't actually any dead bodies there in Iran. A few, you know, every once in a while there's some sabotage. But what they like is that fear. So if there's a peace deal, then the fear is removed, as they point out.
So far we've got selling guns and keeping the war going and making sure there's a plethora of dead bodies laying around to keep everybody in fear. Does that sound familiar? And we continue on.
Defense One reports that over the next 5 years, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, Qatar, and Jordan are expected to spend more than $165 billion on arms. And in the U.S., concerns over ISIS and Iran have prompted calls for an increase in the defense budget. Now, of course, one thing that is a negative...
Yeah, and you got to keep in mind, ISIS is running around chopping off the heads of Christians.
To fear and war spending is dead bodies coming home. That's what ended the Vietnam War, was all those photographs of dead U.S. soldiers, their coffins arriving at the Air Force base. So we don't show those anymore, but it helps even a lot more if we don't have any U.S. soldiers actually going overseas. As long as we keep fear and everybody in conflict, then we could just continue selling them. In fact, Lockheed Martin says that right now 20% of their sales come from overseas, and they're hoping to get it to 25%. So they're hoping to stoke more and more fear over there.
When soldiers go...
Yeah, stoke some more fear, stir the pot, keep the jihadist out there jihading everybody and beheading everybody. That's pretty much the plan so far. And we continue on.
Off the war for these countries, they should realize that their entire contribution to life on this planet is to become garden mulch. If they think there's something other involved than that, they are freaking, they need their head examined.
Here's a tweet from Motherboard regarding death as well, and the prescription drug market is literally killing cancer patients. A study out this week from economics researchers at MIT offers a new perspective on the said marketplace in healthcare and pharmaceuticals, particularly among its star earners, cancer drugs. Every year since 1995, a group of 58 leading cancer medications has increased on average by 10%. In 1995, they used to, on average, cost $54,100 per year of added life, while in 2013, they cost about $207,000 per added year on average, an almost 300% increase in total. And they point out through various, you know, because of patent laws and regulations and all this stuff, that actually all the new drugs coming out are more and more focused on just they're providing very short-term gain in life expectancy for a huge amount of money. So they talk about this Avastin, which is used for colorectal.
Yeah, and so never mind guys like Dr. Royal Raymond Rife, you know, working on cures for cancer with frequency waves and such, you know. Hey, we'll just keep them sick and they'll pay a few bucks to live a few weeks longer. And we continue on.
So cancer, and it extends life by an average of 5 months, and it costs $50,000 for a single dose for a skin cancer drug.
$50,000 for 5 months. My life insurance policy is about $70,000, I think. Yeah.
It costs $120,000 per treatment, and it extends life by only 4 months. So they're focusing more and more on that because there's more and more money, and it costs.
Oh, yeah, and don't stress over it because Obama said they're going to pay for it. Remember that? Obamacare. Yeah. Oh, okay. Whoa. Moving right along.
It's less time to research. There's less R&D time in that.
Yeah, I think it's very analogous to what's happening in the global banking system with negative interest rates. Negative interest rates are an attempt to effectively buy time.
That's right, negative interest rates, and we got the good old Federal Reserve out there that isn't even a federal, it's not even a portion of the government, privately owned banks that manipulate the interest rate on loans and such. And so if they want you to be poor, then you are poor. If they want you to be rich, then you are rich. Never mind the old insider trading and such and the scam of the stock market. Yeah, moving right along.
By monetizing this idea that we have screwed up the planet so badly and that there's an ecological apocalypse within the next 6 to 12 months.
Okay, yeah, keyword monetizing. Monetizing. Everybody listen to that keyword, monetizing. Monetizing climate change. You know, we're screwed up the environment, so you got to pay more taxes. Got to pay taxes on your solar panel, and you got to pay taxes on your wind generators and such. And if your wind generator offends your homeowners association, take it down, stupid. Yeah, moving right along.
Willing to take a negative interest rate now to try to stave that off in some manner to give us an end-of-life jolt. So here you're saying that drug costs are such that to get another five-month window, you're willing to ramp up the cost toward the end to enhance this surge of pre...
Yeah, leave your family in a massive amount of debt as if they're not already slave debts already. So, you know, whenever you want to live for another 3 weeks and have all your hair fall out, jump right on down there to the chemotherapy and get a dose of radiation or two. And then when you're hanging over the old porcelain god blowing chunks and losing your cookies, well, hey, that's just all part of the game there. Thank you, doctor. Thanks for making me sick. Thanks for destroying my immune system with radiation, loser.
Pre-death.
Well, partly because when they first create the medicine, as soon as they create it, the day it's finished, it's made, it's there, it takes them, that's when it goes on patent. So they get 20 years of a patent. And if it takes, if they extend your life by 10 years, that's wasting time on their patent for their clinical trials. So they want something that, like, oh, will increase your life for a week, you know, and here's $120,000 for it. So as they say...
Right, so you're willing to go into debt. You see, money is very cheap. You can borrow money at 0% to extend your life by 3 weeks. It's the same thing with negative interest rates. I'm willing to actually take a negative rate of return to extend my life by 3 weeks. So this is all related to negative interest rates. It's an incredibly cynical view of the pharmaceutical companies that have placed life in central bank on the same level.
Well, maybe you...
And before we move on here, you know, we're also talking about medicine on there when they come on there. If you want you have a problem with impotence, well, you take this pill right here and then it starts listing off all the potential side effects, not excluding death. So, moving right along.
won't want to live much longer, especially in America, because according to this headline, retirement crisis, the great 401k experiment has failed for many Americans. So the median amount in a 401k, which is now the primary source of your pension fund, there are no longer defined benefits plans. There are very few of them around in America, certainly not for any new joiners. That the median amount in your 401k is $18,433, but 40% of pension holders in America in these 401ks have less than $10,000, and that the only people really contributing, they found, to these are people who earn $126,000 per year or more. So it's a tax relief for people who are already earning high incomes. Those under $126,000 do not have the extra money to add into these 401ks. So what they're...
Yeah, and that's why they came across the whole supposed Social Security deal there, you know. It's a retirement saving. They take a little bit of money up out your check, and then whenever you get too old to work, then you go up there and you say, please, Mr. Government, can I have some money? And then whenever they give you some money, and then you say, please, Mr. Government, can I have some more? And then they look at you and they say, more? He wants more. Moving right along.
Saying that is, in America, when we had disability and defined benefit plans, you actually had an equality of retirement period. Now the rich can retire and workers have to work until they die, said Therese.
And the rich are going to retire. Rich is already retired, man. What's going on with that? If I were the devil, I would run around smacking everyone with a banjo. Moving right along.
Said Gilducci, a labor economist at the New School for Social Research, who has proposed eliminating the tax breaks for 401ks and using the money saved to create government-run retirement plans.
Right. In the old days, you used to have a
retirement... Hey, government has a retirement plan. It's like as soon as you get old, they want to do you in, man. That's it. That's all there is to it, man. Yes. Okay. Moving right along. I'm just saying.
Retirement account that pays you some kind of retirement income. Then Wall Street lobbied during the 80s, this all got started, to open that up to Wall Street. And then Wall Street would call people up and they would get them to completely obliterate their savings plans, use, well, you know, Bernie Madoff type and other savings, etc.
Yeah, see, here's the deal, man. It's like, hey, all right, look at here. You know, you could go with government Social Security, or you could take your doggone Social Security future income, and you can throw it down here on the craps table and roll the dice, okay? And you might win, and then again, you might lose. If you got your Social Security in the stock market, you could be a millionaire by the time you're so old and toothless you can't even see straight. But, you know, hey, at least you'll have a lot of money in your pocket. Moving right along.
Or they get no return on their savings. It's a 0% rate of return. Now, what's happening in the UK? Under George Osborne's budget 2015 speech, he's now going to open that all up to the City of London, and within 10 years, all that money will be completely gone.
Well, in fact, what they point out is that...
And that's another thing, too. You know, they kept borrowing from the Social Security, which was supposed to be touched, but not touched, and the Social Security number was never to be used as an identification purpose, but now it's attached to everything. So, with that said, you know, now they got the Social Security supposedly going to go broke before too long. So by the time you get old enough to collect your so-called Social Security, which is tax money taken out of your money over here in the United States whenever you go to work, then that's supposed to protect you when you get older and can't work, or if you become crippled and can't work, you're supposed to have that fund there to protect you there. Well, either the government's going to spend it first, or you're going to throw it down on the stock market craps table and roll the dice and possibly hit snake eyes. Who knows? You might hit lucky number 7. If you do, you win the jackpot. Maybe you can retire early like the rich folks and cruise around on a yacht and stuff. Moving right along, the insanity continues.
People can guide their... Basically, they have two choices to make, and this is always works against them. 401ks change two things. You could choose not to participate, and you chose your own investments, which a lot of people, I think, screw up, she said.
Hold on a second. They start talking about you can choose whether or not to participate. No, you can't. You can't choose whether or not to participate. You got to participate in one or the other. Otherwise, you have no future insurance towards income potentially coming in to put food on your table or pay the bills. Do you think they wouldn't throw an old man out on the street or an old lady in a walker? Heck yeah, they'd throw a crippled man out on the street. They'd just come out there with the banks and they'd drag you up out your wheelchair and repossess that, slap you around, they'd roll you off in the ditch and then sell your property to somebody else. They ain't playing. You think they are? Just try it. Don't pay your bills for a while and see if the bank don't send the jackbooted thugs over there to whiplash you and stuff. Moving right along.
So people are buying high and selling low over and over with their examinations.
Of course they do that wrong because they watch CNBC. And CNBC is a churn network. They get people to buy too high and sell too low. If you watch James Cramer on CNBC, you would have been completely broke years and years ago. His performance is negative, negative, negative. And this is the entire industry. It's owned by CNBC, and it's owned by the entire major media in the UK. It's meant to defraud you and steal all your money, and this is coming to the UK now.
Well, there's an actual number about how much they're defrauding you, and this is part of the problem. So right in the fourth quarter of 2014, there was $4.5 trillion in 401ks in total. Well, 20% of it by the time you retire is lost to fees. But the other thing...
Hold on a second. Government ain't going to defraud you. You can always trust the government, right? Moving right along.
It's another problem is that when 401k savers retire, they often opt to take their savings in a lump sum and roll the money into IRAs, which may entail higher fees and expose them to conflicted investment advice. A recent report by the Council of Economic Advisers found that savers receiving such advice, which may be...
So you're going to take your lump sum of your retirement fund and your 401k, and you're going to throw it down there on the crap table of the... doggone stock market and see if you can't just make a few bucks real quick. Well, you know, I think every time you go down to any casino or anything to do any gambling, the odds are always on the house there. So if you want to take that risk, and moving right along, it's your money.
Suitable for them, but not optimal. See, investment returns reduced by a full percentage point on average. Overall, the report found that conflicted investment advice cost savers $17 billion per year.
Let me explain something to you about the effect of compounded rate of interest, which Einstein called one of the most powerful force in the universe. It's rumored that the island of Manhattan was bought for something equivalent to $24 in shells or trinkets at that time. If that money were put into an account and was compounding at 5% a year from the date of that transaction, that account would now be sufficient to buy the entire island of Manhattan for over $1 trillion. That's the power of a compounded rate of interest. Those exact numbers...
Compounded rate of interest. That kind of sounds like a credit card bill to me.
Don't quote me. It's similar to what I just said. You get my point. What I'm saying here is that by simply putting money into an interest-bearing account and letting it, the magic of a compounded rate of return, work over 20 or 30 or 40 years, you're going to have a retirement income. If somebody from one of the big four banks here in the UK calls you with a hot tip, just put a bullet into the chamber and blow your head off because you save yourself a lot of aggravation.
Well, that's some really good advice, you know. Put a bullet in your chamber and blow your head off, man. You know, that's... Really? Come on, man. I mean, you can always trust the banks. You can always trust your government. And if all else fails, hey, you always got a bullet in the chamber, right? Unless there's gun control and you ain't got no bullets. I do remember they run around and bought up a bunch of them, tried to drain the market, but they didn't drain it completely because they took them bullets and moved them over to overseas so other people would shoot each other over there and keep the body counts up. That way they can talk about it on the news, how many dead folks were laying everywhere, and jihadists were running around beheading everybody. So that you would keep sending your children overseas to fight against the evil one there, and you know, so on and so forth, until eventually they're going to get rich. That's all there is to it. They're getting rich, richer off of your blood, and moving right along.
They gotta go, Stacey.
Well, Social Security is next, of course. They want to turn them into 401ks.
Duh. All right, well, stay tuned for the second half. A whole lot more.
Yeah, we're staying tuned for
Welcome
the second
back to
half.
The Kaiser Report. I'm Max Kaiser. Time now to turn to Egon von Greyerz of Matterhorn Asset Management in Switzerland. Egon, welcome back to the Kaiser Report.
Thank you very much, Max. It's a great time to be here. It's great from the point of view that we have so much to talk about. It's not great for the world.
News ticker says,
yeah.
Tens of thousands protest impending budget cuts in Quebec. And they're getting beat up by the fuzz, man. The men in black are beating them up. And fires and stuff. All right, moving right along.
Well, let's get into it. I wanted to start off by asking you about what's happening in France. Because in France, they are limiting people in terms of how much money they can take out at the bank at one time. They've limited to 1,000 euros.
That's right. You can only take 1,000 euros out of your own bank account. You can always trust your government, man. That's it. Bail out the banks and allow the banks to go ahead and foreclose on the homes. And then the banks can turn around and resell the homes. And then everybody's happy, right? Except the homeless guy underneath the bridge.
It was like 2,000 or 3,000 euros. They're getting very involved in people's day-to-day business. How they're spending money. You can't spend a certain amount of money without alerting the authorities. You can't take out more than 10,000 euros.
That's right. If you think you need that extra plate of nachos or that box of Twinkies, you need to just put that back, Jack. That's not your money. That's the government's money. You spend that money the way you're told and do it and like it. Know your place and shut your face. That's what I'm saying. You can always trust your government.
There's a month without alerting the authorities. It seems to me that France knows that 0% interest rates are coming, that they're going to start charging people to keep their money at the bank, and they don't want people taking that money out of them.
That's right, and that's why back in the whole 20s and 30s and stuff like that, people kept their money underneath their mattress because they were fed up. You know, it costs you money to leave your money in the bank. The bank's already making money off of your money. When you put your money in a savings account, it's not still there. They take that money and they loan it out to somebody else, and they get the interest off of it. They get to keep that interest, and that's how they earn a living. So, you know, I'm going to make some money off of it. You got to pay to keep your money in there. Doggone it. You can always trust your bank. Trust your government, too. I have spoken.
The bank and sticking it into your vaults in Switzerland or even into cash and putting it into the bank. Isn't this a pernicious form of capital controls? And talk about this a little bit.
Absolutely. We will have worldwide capital controls. You know, right today you're a criminal if you go to the bank and ask for cash. Most banks in the world.
Yeah, you're a criminal. Don't ask the bank for cash. You know, look, hey, you'd be better off going in there with a ski mask getting cash. That's all I can say. At least they don't know who it is. You know, until the FBI or somebody like that jumps on your back, starts wailing on you. You know, you can get a lot accomplished with a pair of brass knuckles.
Ask you a lot of questions, and if you want a bigger amount, they will stop you. Although it's actually not illegal in most countries to take out bigger amounts, but still, they will do everything they can to stop you. The banks are in a mess. France is the next sick child of Europe, in my view. They will have massive problems, and exchange controls will be part of their solution. It's not a solution, of course.
So in other words, you've got in Europe countries going bust. Obviously, Greece has gone bust. As Yanis Varoufakis has said, we're bust. So there's no point in talking about what we do if we go bust. We're already bust.
Well, you know, here we go again. The banks have gone bust. All right. Yeah, I guess maybe they probably have gone bust. They threw all your money onto the stock market. They want to criminalize you pulling your money out of your bank account. Next thing, they're going to want you to hock your Nintendo and sell all your DVDs and CDs and such. That way you can give them more money. Then they're going to foreclose on everything, man. Whew, what a world.
Now, Italy, it's a terrible situation. Ireland went bust. They got bailed out, but now it looks like they're going to go bust again because there's a housing bubble.
Yeah.
But you
Yeah, they went bailed out. They went bust, then they got bailed out, and then they went bust again. So there ought to be some sort of red flag up in there saying, look like this, you can't be a good caretaker of your own money. Let's put this money into the government's hand. It's okay, because we'll back you up. We'll take the money from the people, and we'll put it back into your pocket eventually after we make a few bucks off of the interest of the money that we're going to bail you out with. Does any of this make any sense? Now, common sense went out the window with the invention of the pogo stick and or brass knuckles. Moving right along.
I think now this contagion, if you will, is going to hit France. Let's talk about this a little.
Yeah, no, I think the French economy, I mean, they're making, their deficit is among the biggest in Europe still. They have unions which are not going to accept any austerity, and France will have austerity like any country needs to in a deficit situation. You look as at Greece, Italy, but no country will accept, no people, including the French especially, will accept austerity. Therefore, I see the problems being bigger in France than anywhere else, because they will actually have unions that are going to just stop all activity.
Right, so France, the France ability to do any reforms at all is pretty well dead in the water. You know, going back to Sarkozy when he was first in office, tried a whole suite of
reforms. In the old days, the reform was this: if the bank messed up, then the bank ended up failing and the bank went out of business and people would be all hacked off because they lost all their doggone money.
Yeah. Of reforms, he was booted out. The people,
other than that, Jesse James or somebody like that with a handkerchief over his face would run in and stick the joint up and run off with the money. That's why everybody just kept on putting their money underneath their mattress or buried in coffee cans or mason jars or whatever they could do to keep a few bucks on hand so they could buy some bread.
Decided they didn't want reforms. Now under the current administration, under Hollande, it's been not effective in any way. Now they're thinking about bringing back Sarkozy. I lived in France for my...
Another quick news ticker down there at the bottom while I'm watching this. Dozens reported dead on second day Saudi-led airstrikes in Yemen. Okay, World War III, anybody?
Times, it seems that the second they put a new president in, they immediately turn on him and becomes the most unpopular president in history. I mean, the French culture itself is something that can...
News ticker, tens of thousands protest impending budget cuts in Quebec and Canada. You know, Canadians don't like it when you take their money and you cut their budgets. You know, they're talking about social welfare deal going on, but, you know, why does anybody even have to have social welfare if you got your act together and everybody's making money and has a job and it can be profitable and so on and so forth? Then there ain't no reason for all these other deals other than to help some folks out that can't get up and go work because they're physically unable or something like that, or the elderly who already did their time. But, you know, if you have a good thriving economy, then you really ain't worried about money in that sense. Yeah, moving right along. Tens of thousands protests. This world's messed up, man. If I were the devil, I'd run around smacking everybody with a banjo.
Kenwith, if we could put it on those terms, you know, in Europe, the countries are remarkably different, culturally speaking. France, Germany, Greece, Switzerland, they're very, very different. The French seem particularly intractable when it comes to this type of meaningful reform, do you think?
Yes, they won't accept it. But I forecast a long time ago that every country, certainly in Europe, will change governments regularly now, because any new government that comes in promises the earth. They call.
All right, look, you know, you keep throwing this word around, reform. You want to reform the government, you want to reform the banks, throw them all up in jail. That's where the reform goes, you know. See, they probably put all the people up in jail for everything under the sun, so now why don't you just throw some bankers, some politicians, and some governments up in the jail, let them sit back and think about their actions and how they're devastating the entire world. And maybe that'll reform them. Put them on then one of them old chain gangs to where they're out there paving the streets that they keep talking about. We got to take tax money out of your pocket so that we can fix the roads, you know, build the infrastructure up. You remember that deteriorating infrastructure where you're going to get a wire fire if you try to turn on your light bulb? Anyway, moving right along. There's another ticker down there. Polish prosecutors charge Russian air controller over 2010, whatever, I can't even pronounce that, Kakowakazaki plane crash. Yeah, planes are falling out of the sky. Christians are being beheaded. There's bombs dropping everywhere. The stock market's in a ruckus. The doggone government's corrupt. Put your money in the freaking 401k. Throw your Social Security down on the craps table and roll the dice. Snake eyes, anybody? Moving right along.
Okay, but look at Greece now. Either they're going to compromise or they have to leave the EU. I think they should leave the EU default. Install a new currency, the drachma, start from fresh again. But of course, the Troika will do everything they can to stop them because they know that it will lead to Italy, Spain, Portugal asking for the same conditions.
We interrupt this emergency broadcast. It's like Alibaba or something like that. Al-Shabaab gunmen raid hotel in Somali capital, killing 10 people. Oh, more dead bodies. Hey, throw your money up in there because we got to save the planet and stuff. You know, more dead bodies, Al-Shabaab gunmen. What the heck, man? Come on.
Actually, or either ask for the same conditions or also starting to have financial collapse in that country. So I think that we will now see parties coming in and out on a regular basis in Europe, and no party will last because they promise the earth when they come in, and when they come in, they can't deal.
News flash: dozens reported dead on second day of Saudi-led airstrikes in Yemen. That sounds like one we've already been through. Either way, the bombs are still dropping, moving right along.
Liberals, they'll be thrown out, and therefore we will have a form of anarchy starting in politics, because politicians will not ever be able to rule the country properly.
Now, in the case of Greece, the folks in Greece, they want two things. They want to be part of the euro, and they want the end.
Yeah, they want to be part of the euro, and Iran, world powers, continue nuclear talks with end March deadline looming. Wow. Is Iran going to get a bomb, or ain't they going to get a bomb, or do they already got a bomb? Weapons of mass destruction. We've got wars and rumors of wars, plagues, famine, pestilence, and so on and so forth. And you can always trust your government. This has been a public service announcement. Moving right along.
No austerity. It seems like these two goals are mutually exclusive. Either you want the end of austerity, or you want to be part of the euro. You can't have both. Is that a fair statement?
It's fair. And this is what's happened to Europe today. The people are used to being spoon-fed by...
Soviet, you got a background noise going on there. Soviet, yeah, you do. Soyuz spacecraft carrying two Russians, one American, docks with ISS, International Space Station, for those of you who don't know acronyms. How you doing, Barry? Barry?
Good morning, you.
Yeah.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
We're almost through the news broadcast.
Well, I've been listening in. I took my dogs out for the remote. Well, they took me out for my morning run. I had my coffee, so I'm able to talk now. Priorities in the morning. Anyway, yeah, interesting conversation.
Jump in there whenever you hear some ludicrousy that you can't stand.
Well, I've heard a pile already. What do you want me to jump in?
All right, here we go.
Okay,
moving right along.
They're looked after terribly. So they want everything, but they don't want any austerity. Of course, we know the two will never reconcile. Greece is bust, as you said. All of Europe is bust, certainly Southern Europe. Therefore, in my view, there is no solution. Of course, there isn't any solution.
News flash: two people missing after Manhattan building collapse. The buildings are falling down, the sky's falling, wars, rumors of wars, plagues, famine, pestilence, and so on and so forth. You can always trust your government. Moving right along. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And compromise short term. But long term, I mean, the whole, in my view, and I said it when it started, the European Union will break up. The euro is an artificial currency that should never have been there. It won't last. It's only a question if some countries will still have it for a while.
Now, Egon, you're at Gold Switzerland, yeah. Is the company. You're in Switzerland. And the business model is a very interesting business model because basically you can sit back and just wait because throughout history, every fiat currency that's ever come has ended in disaster and worth nothing. And throughout history, gold has always been the currency at the end of the day. Gold, we always come back to gold. So basically, you have Gold Switzerland in Switzerland. Right now, there's a love affair with fiat again, yeah. Whether it's the euro or the dollar was making a move much higher. But aren't we in a very strange situation where these
prosecutors, co-pilot of crashed German wings plane, may have concealed mental illness? Is that possible?
Supply of dollars, the supply of treasury paper is at an all-time high, and yet the price goes up, whereas the demand for gold globally is one of the strongest periods in history, and the price has been trending sideways to lower. Doesn't that repudiate everything we know about economics?
Yeah, you're making a lot of important points here. First of all, the demand for physical gold is very high, and there's actually a shortage in the market of physical gold. Now, because what has happened, as you know, is that all the gold goes from west to east. Before, when bullion banks got gold from central banks, leased gold or sold gold, is kept within the London pool or in New York. Now, China is the buyer, and they take delivery. So that the physical gold market is now strained. But the paper gold market is, of course, 100 times the physical.
He said something key right there, paper gold market, physical gold market. I'm going to tell you one thing for sure. You know, if I'm going to buy a product and own that said product, I'm going to make sure that said product is in my hands and in my pocket or in my vault. Paper gold. What the heck is paper gold, man? You ain't going to eat it. You ain't going to spend it. When the stock market crashes and they run all up in their little bunkers with all their gold, you ain't going to cash that paper in. Back in the old days, there used to be this dollar bill that they called a silver certificate. You could take around to any Federal Reserve Bank and you could exchange it for its worth in silver, which was 4 silver quarters. Try it now.
Don't throw that money away, guys, because it's a good fire starter.
Yeah, ain't no joke.
That's about all you're going to be able to use it for when this bubble bursts.
You can tuck it under your hat to keep the heat in. That way, whenever they shut your power off, you can stay warm.
Meanwhile, in Turkey, we now see a complete total martial law lockdown of the country.
That's right.
Complete total lockdown, man.
No.
Martial law has been enforced.
Know your place and shut your face.
Yeah, curfew shot on strike the whole 9 yards, guys. So, interesting times we're getting into.
Moving right along.
Incredible acceleration of events. Well, and the banks, wow, man, don't put it in the bank. Stick all your money and stick it under your mattress. You're right, man, because these whole economic bubble. I listened to Max Kaiser the other night, and I urge everybody to listen to what that guy's saying. And anything that Joe Salenti writes and posts on the internet, he's got 2 articles out right now, guys. Go have a look and listen and read his articles. It's hard to comprehend everything that's going on, but we are really on a collision course with a big blowup right now.
Man, the bubble that they talk about, Puzzle Barry, I think you wrote it in there, the whole bubble could burst it in a heartbeat. Ain't no joke.
Literally a fintech right now, she is. I mean, look at all the countries pulling away from the U.S. dollar. It's collapsed. As far as these experts, I'm not an expert, but I listen to what experts are saying. The collapse of the U.S. dollar is virtually inevitable. It's going to happen.
Well, one of them said weapons of mass destruction, one of them Scud missiles blown off course might pop the bubble too, man. Who knows?
What it's going to take is everybody around the world to walk away and say, we are not going to comply, and completely walk away from everything. That's what it will take to stop right now. If not, we're heading into a collapse, guys, that most people are going to be completely blindsided by. They still think that everything's just going to keep going the way it is, and the government will have the answers when things go bad. But this is one that the governments are just going to walk to wait for it. Hey, you guys are on your own.
Man, the government ain't had no answers to anything yet.
But unfortunately, most people in society still believe that when the poop hits the fan, she says, the government's going to have the answers. And I'm here saying, hey, I don't believe they are. I believe that this, when this collapse happens, it is going to be one that will throw the earth back 10 years financially. It will take 10 or 15 years to recover from. And we're going to have to establish another way of doing business.
I've got a solution, man.
Hey, I will your solution.
See, when the government knocks your tooth out, then you can put it on your pillow and the tooth fairy throw some bucks up under there, man.
Okay, cool, I'll try that.
How many teeth does an average person have?
I forget, 32, I think.
So there's $32 towards your retirement. Throw it down on the craps table and double down.
Well, I've got a little bit of silver in my teeth. That could be a last resort.
All right, well, you better get that out before somebody else does. All right, moving right along.
Central banks and some financial institutions, the big banks in the U.S., Goldman's, JP Morgan, etc., they are manipulating the price and pushing it down continuously. And that's going to...
No, they wouldn't manipulate anything. Come on, man. Seriously?
probably end this year, in my view. And when the market sees that there actually is no paper, no gold to deliver against the paper longs, they are going to go... These banks are not going to be able to deliver. They will actually have to cash settle, and they will lose a lot of money.
Okay, first of all, let me jump in and say, yeah, you're calling for a gold breakout and a breakdown in paper currencies this year, 2015, and your track record in this regard is quite stellar. You're not making this prediction lightly. I mean, this is coming from somebody who's really at the nexus of the global gold market, and so your thought is that this year we do have this reversion to the mean, this sudden re-evaluation on the global scale where fiat currency resumes its natural value, which is not very much at all, and we have this gold then coming back and assuming its mantle as the top currency. What's going on with the top one-tenth of 1%? It seems to me that once they're flirting with these fiat currencies, the high-tech stocks and the New York Stock Exchange, etc., but once the psychology changes, they can very quickly get into gold, and those who are left on the sidelines will be out of luck.
Absolutely. And especially the first one will be the ones with all the ETFs, all the paper gold. They won't get any gold. If you have good connections, because you know, remember, there's about 2,500 tons produced every year, and if you buy direct from refiners, which we do, you will always get gold. But there won't be gold for the masses. I mean, I can see now, I mean, you know, I'm in the hyperinflationary camp. I believe that you look at the money printing, and let us just look at the money printing now. You know, Japan, I mean, in my view, Japan is going to not, the country will survive, but the economy will sink into the Pacific. They are not going to survive. There's no chance of it. 250% debt to GDP now.
Man, you know, look, hey. All right, they are talking about the country of Japan, their economy is sinking into the Pacific. Well, they got a radiation leak going on over right there. It's not like these folks ain't got enough problems as is. So somebody over there, let's get one of them accounts started up there to raise some funds and send it over to Japan so first they can clean up that doggone mess they got going on over there and keep their economy from sinking into the Pacific, okay? What is that? A GoFundMe account. GoFundMe Japan. We need to send them some bucks. All right?
Growing, printing, you know, a trillion or quadrillion yen debt going up. No effect on the economy. China, as you know, has gone from 2 trillion to 28 trillion, borrowings in this century. They will have problems, and they have problems already. And of course, that has repercussions for the whole world because they were buying all the commodities from the world. Now we know commodities are crashing, and the Baltic Dry Index, which is a good example of actually what's happening in world trade, is at an all-time low. So, you know, we talk about Europe as the only problem child, but I mean, I see the U.S. as the big problem.
the US, everybody's now optimistic, dollar has been strong, the US economy is strong. Every single figure is actually now worse than expected in the US. Stock markets are, the Russell 2000 is on a 90 historic PE. But everybody looks at future PE and they exclude all the items there. So they talk about a lot lower. The real PE is 90. The S&P's on historic basis for a lot.
So I can't take it anymore, man. I had enough of all that. Prosecutors, I'm going to reread this one right here. Prosecutors, co-pilot of crashed German Wings plane may have concealed mental illness. There's a whole lot of concealment of mental illness going on in this world.
Why did they? Why did he program the autopilot to make a slow, gradual descent? Anytime that there was a guy in Nigeria there that took down a plane out to suicide, one of the co-pilots, and he pushed the nose straight down. Why would somebody committing suicide program an autopilot to take a gradual descent into the side of the mountain?
Well,
would he grab the stick and push it straight down?
I don't know, man. This
there's so many questions about this one.
There's a possibility that maybe, if he knew he was going to crack, he was, crash, that he wanted to maybe get off a few bong hits before, the actual event. And, hey, it's mental illness after all, right?
Right. Paxil or
Zyban,
one of the two.
Well, yeah. You're going to give Prozac, Ritalin, basically a watered-down horse tranquilizer, a.k.a. PCP, to calm people down because everybody's freaking out because their paper gold isn't as good as their gold, and nobody could find the gold. It's like, where's Waldo, man? Where's the gold? It's in China. No, it's in Japan. It sure ain't in, what's that place over in the United States? Fort Knox, yeah. The only thing hiding up in Fort Knox is the politicians.
Yeah.
But hey, you can always trust your government, man.
They've never lied to us, Shazoo.
No.
That's why we elect them, because they always take our best interest to heart.
Well, the whole military-industrial complex out there, if you listen to just that report alone, what it's talking about, basically economy everywhere in trouble and how to make money by making sure that there's dead bodies laying around to keep everybody in fear so you can sell some more guns and drugs and such, And so, with that said, it's like I'm always talking about how you can't sell no drugs if ain't nobody sick or ain't nobody want to get high. And you can't sell no guns if ain't nobody shooting each other. So I think we should all just get banjos, man.
I think the best business to get into right now is being a psychiatrist, because now they've upped the amount of psychotropics available on the market from 44 in 1978 to 184 different psychotropics you can get now. So it gives the psychiatrist a wide variety of drugs that they can peddle now. And
well,
each one has its own kickback. So
if you go into business as a psychiatrist, are you going to have one of them comfortable couches?
I am going to have two of them.
Alright, well, reserve one for me, and what I want is, I want to come in, take a snort off a bottle of cognac, lay down and take a nap, and then we'll talk about it when I get up.
You know that the five top psychotropic drugs that were manufactured last year in the world, such as the combined gross product of those five, were exceeding half the countries in the world for the gross product, just in five psychotropics. What a crazy world we live in, man. And you can go into a doctor's office and you can tell them that you've got a little bit of it in. I don't feel good today. I don't want to stand in front of this crowd and talk. Oh, here, take some Prozac, or take this, or take that. You can get these things 5 minutes in a doctor's office. Literally, that's all fast.
Oh, yeah, they get kickbacks from the drug company, man.
Of course they do. They got the drug reps coming into their offices and talking to them in private. Well, what the hell's going on in these conversations? What a bunch of hypocritical bastards, man.
Yeah, it's funny because you'll listen to a commercial where they're talking about there's a drug for impotence or baldness, and then it throws in the possible side effects, and then right after you get through listening to that, you got another commercial comes on with an attorney talking about, if you took this drug, I'll get you some money,
The U.S. government's got a solution for that now, should this legislation in front of the government saying that the drug companies don't have to even expose the side effects and the possible implications. They really are taking care of us, buddy. I love them.
Yeah, so if you brush your tooth with some toothpaste with fluoride in it and your eyeball falls out of your socket and rolls across the floor and a buzzard swoops down and snags your eyeball and flies off with it, don't worry, the government's got your back.
Well, fluoride's a good thing, isn't it? It is. I mean, they've been using it for years. They tell us it saves our teeth. You know what, buddy, I did. I'm only going to bring it up for 2 minutes, but I did a study, and I spent 4 hours studying this, and I cross-referenced every country in the world that's using fluoride and every country that isn't. All this information is available on the Internet. You compare the countries, the difference in tooth decay is 0.06%. 0.06%.
Yeah, so, but what's a little bit of an advanced fluoridosis between friends?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, a little bit of decay of your phones, a little bit of lowering IQ. We don't want you to think about it. So if we lower your IQ, it works. And, man, these companies that used to have to pay $1,000 or $6,000 a ton to dispose of their coal is now saying it. It's a great deal, man.
Yeah, and slap it up in the toothpaste. Out of sight, out of mind. No worries.
Well, yeah, they say a pea drop size of toothpaste is sufficient for a child. You know, when he swallows a little bit of that fluoride, man, he's taking approximately anywhere from 10 to 15,000 times as much fluoride that whatever that council in the state says is even considered tolerable for a young body.
Well, Barry.
And breast milk and what they're putting in the water and what's going into the fetuses with this fluoride.
Barry, ought to be a red flag. It ought to be a red flag right out of the gate. And I know a lot of people don't read the freaking labels on stuff, but it ought to be a red flag whenever you got this little toothpaste that has a picture of Barney on it for your child, and it says on the back there, in case accidentally ingested, call poison control.
Immediately. Well, I mean, come on, guys. What does it take, a rocket scientist to figure it out that if you're brushing something, giving your kid something toxic, that if they swallow it and you want to put it in their mouth and brush your teeth? Okay, let me see. What am I missing here, Shaziz? Somebody help me with this one.
I don't know, man. You know, spray some bug spray up under your armpits. That'll keep down the stink. I mean, come on.
And you want to hear a good one, guys? There's a group now. I'm going to bring this up only for a second here. There's a group in Ontario that has actually sued their local municipality. 5 years ago, this group of people started producing information to the community, the council, about the dangers of fluoridated water. Hardcore scientific information gone in there 5 years in a row. The council refused to even look at it, blah, blah, blah. They've sued the council now. It's in front of the courts. I was talking to one of the lawyers this week that's involved in that. I did a little bit of research. If there's a win in this situation, what he says is going to be because the information put in front is undeniable now. It's Harvard. It's university studies from all over the world stating the dangers of this. It's going to be going to court. It's going to be decided on. It was supposed to be decided on last week, guys. I'm following this really close because if this goes in favor of the people of the community, this will knock the heck right out of fluoride in every community in North America in a year. Because the lawyers are going to jump on this like crazy because there will be class action suits filed in every community that is now fluoridating their water. What a great way to get rid of this crap, eh?
Speaking of class action suits, man, the Food and Drug Administration has forever and a day allowed people who would fill their pockets full of bucks to get things onto the market that weren't healthy, such as way back in the day whenever they still used saccharin and artificial sugars, and then they moved over to aspartame, which is worse than saccharin.
And they renamed it.
Yeah, and just basically all these things that would cause the cancer in lab rats or people to grow a third eye on their face or an extra ear or something like that, you know. But... then, you know, it's okay because we got attorneys. They'll take care of that. They'll class action it, you know. But the problem is the attorneys work for the same doggone drug companies. And so whenever the attorney gets a percentage of whatever you got from them, they get their money back portion anyway. So the whole system's
jacked. The revolving door. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna sue you with my attorney and get some of my money back.
I don't know. I think this might be a little bit different situation here that we're looking at right now with developing in Ontario.
Well, I hope they win.
Well, I actually, I had a conversation this week with one of the lawyers. And I've been really pursuing this and following it very closely. I'm not going to give out his name or anything here. I'll give you the links if you want to have a talk with him. Should this off the air here, I'll ask him to have a chat with you about this. But this is pretty powerful stuff that's going on, guys.
We should bring him on air.
Well, if this goes in favor of the people, what she told me, he feels is about an 85% chance right now, this was his words, that the information that's being put out is undeniable and that the council has nothing to stand on. The fact alone that the FDA has never, ever in its history approved the use of fluoride should be a red flag, but most people aren't even aware of that fact, should they?
Well, the Food and Drug Administration thinks carbon's a toxic waste, for Pete's sake.
Well, of course. But it just, people got to wake up to the whole scam, man. Fluoridation of water is nothing but a scam. It is one of the worst things that's happening in our society, yet it could be one of the easiest things as a society to get rid of. All we need to do is be educated and pay attention and go to your councils and start doing what these people are doing. I've gone to my council now twice, and they're the same way. They're a bunch of nasty. I could almost guarantee you, Shaziz, that the company that's providing our fluoride to this city somehow might have a connection to somebody in that council. Because that kind of crap goes on all the time. We know that. We know that people's pockets are filled behind the scene. This guy strokes this guy who strokes that guy. It all works out in the end for them. But we're the ones that are paying the price.
Well, it's always the little guy who's the one who ends up paying a doggone price. You know, I threw another link in there of a YouTube video about, it said anonymous on there or something, but either way, when it finally all got down to it, basically the lady in there was talking about how in order to keep her on the internet and support her commentary or whatever, everybody send her $10 and that would supplement her income to keep her from being homeless and such. I got a few questions about that whole episode. First off, if you can afford internet, you might not be too bad off, but you know, I could be wrong. There's people out there, the working poor, who can barely afford to keep a prepaid cell phone and such. Who am I to say, man? I'm just trying to point out the ludicrousy of the whole entire mess. People running around trying to stock up on gold or paper gold or bogus money. It's like playing Monopoly with my brother. My brother was the banker every time we played Monopoly, and for some reason or another, he was wealthy and he always won. So,
the sleight of hand.
I'm sure there's a moral in that story, and I know how the government works because my little brother, who was sitting right next to him, witnessed his shenanigans and took a payoff so he wouldn't squeal on me or squeal on my brother. So my little brother was making out like bandits. I went to the bathroom, I come back, and my little brother's got motels on his doggone properties now. I'm like, hey, what happened there?
Construction boom. Chinese construction boom.
Yeah, these guys work fast.
You know, there's cities right now in China that are vacant ages, that their whole economy has been based kind of on this real estate boom here in the last 5 or 6 years, and they have literally built cities in China that are vacant. I don't understand it, man. I don't. They got millions of people living in houses and got cities that are empty. So,
well, that's for the baby boom. That's for the baby boom after the whole two-child policy thing doesn't work out. So they're going to have some empty houses ready for those kids, you know. I'm just saying. Are you still there, Barry?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh.
The two other gentlemen that are sitting in, I don't see them actually on this Skype call.
Yeah.
Are they on another call or something? Because they were talking, I don't hear them talking
anymore. Oh, no, that was Max Kaiser and them. I was playing there today and giving some commentary because they were talking about how you got to keep the bodies laying around in order to keep people motivated to go to war. You know, you look out there, and first off, they're playing on everybody's heartstrings. And so with today's modern technology and digital manipulation of videos, you never can tell what's real and what ain't real, and there's wars and rumors of wars, plagues and famines and pestilence and so on and so forth. So when you're watching the news, you got to look at it with a skeptical eye to see if that little halo's around them whenever they're in the midst of a battle, like the kind of bloopers that they made, where one guy he's all ducked down with his partner there, and they're talking on there like, oh, we're under gunfire, you know, and you look at the background and there's this dude on the cell phone just laughing away talking on the cell phone right in the midst of a gun battle. And something's just not right because he's not ducking or anything like that. And then you got two news ladies, one on one side and one on the other, who are supposedly separated by the town itself. There's a shooting on one side of the town that one's covering, and there's a shooting on the other side of the town that's covering. So you're sitting there watching this news broadcast, and all of a sudden this van goes through the back of one, and then it drives through the back of the other, and then a car comes through the back of one and goes through the same car, and it's like, man, that must be a short street or a small town, because those same cars were in both backgrounds, and it turned out that they were caught, and there was like, they were only 30 feet apart in the same parking lot.
Yeah, a green screen, man.
Yeah. Doing their dog.
Well, you know, everywhere we're looking right now, it seems like the whole world is wrapping up for war. I mean, that was brought to my attention a couple days ago that the U.S. military had just gone four on their alert status. I went to six different websites to check it out to make sure it was legitimate. And yeah, the U.S. military is now at just gone four. They haven't been at just gone four since the Cuban Missile Crisis. So to say that we're ramping up for war would be an understatement. We see them putting troops into the west borders of Ukraine right now. We see Ukraine pulled away from Russia and is now part of the European Union. Do you think Russia is enjoying this, man? The fact that the U.S. now is putting batteries close to their home, then the whole world's ramping up to this.
They're test driving ICBMs. They're doing all kinds of drills with Black Hawk helicopters and military jets buzzing everybody's barns and... you know, and they keep the Russians keep flying across people's borders or into their airspace to slap the bee's nest, so to speak, and get everybody riled up. Everybody's saber rattling and showing their strength, and China's doing their thing, and everybody else is doing their thing, and so it's all about, all it's going to take is like one firecracker to go off in the wrong place at the wrong time, and then all heck's going to break loose, man.
What can we do to stop it? She says, there's nothing we can do to stop it right now. They are ramping this up. I mean, the U.S. military is at high alert. All these militaries are at high alert. When the military gets to that situation, it doesn't take much to start a war.
Well, I would say...
All I can say is I hope it doesn't happen, because somebody's going to start lobbing nukes around, and that won't be a good day in human history.
I would say that the average Joe needs to get up and voice their concerns, but then again, we go back to what's going on over there in other parts of the country where the cops are beating everybody toothless and pepper spraying them and hitting them in the face with doggone tear gas canisters and such, and, you know.
And yet, if you tune into the mainstream media right now in America, you'll see nothing but, oh, wow, what happened to the plane? And... my, there was a bear caught in downtown Los Angeles. Or they don't cover any of this. I tuned in and listened here for half an hour yesterday to mainstream media. There's nothing being said about anything that's really going on in the world. And it's no wonder the American people are still asleep. You guys got to tune in to Alternative.
It's just ludicrous, because we in the alternative media, we kind of get a little bit inside scoop, and we share that information. We're for the most part, days ahead of the mainstream media, and the only reason why they'll even cover anything is if they get a lot of buzz and on the internet about it, and then that their ratings are dropping to the dirt. So, you know, they'll start talking about it, like the whole conspiracy thing. They didn't even touch conspiracy stuff prior to the internet and the mainstream media taking off.
Well, it's like they're being forced now to expose, but what they're exposing is what they're allowed to expose, little pieces here and there to keep their ratings up.
Yeah, they'll talk about Justin Bieber getting arrested for drag racing or something like that.
Yeah, but they won't talk about the fact that we're on the verge of World War III right now, and that everybody should be screaming at their politicians to put a stop to this, but we're not. We're sitting back and letting it happen. And, you know, if the human race is going to let this happen, then what, do they deserve it? I don't think they deserve it, but the fact that people aren't standing up right now and aren't screaming at the top of their voices, it says a lot about the state of our society. How dumbed down, how how we are so controlled by entertainment, man. I mean, it's all about football, baseball, hockey, NBA. This is all going on, rah, yeah, rah. But the whole economy of the United States is falling apart right now. And people are going, hey, what's on TV tonight? Can you go down to McDonald's, get me a burger, let's watch what's on a hockey game? It's just, people have to wake up to this, and they have to wake up quick. Well, we are really getting into some slippery times right now.
I agree with you, man. They're all distracted with smut and craziness and all that kind of stuff. I mean, there ought to be a news broadcast that comes out there and just does something just totally bizarre, you know, just that people are watching. Because you ever see that doggone YouTube channel with that lady that talked to the president with the big old green lips? I can't remember what the heck they call that lady. She had like lipstick on, like, you know, caked on her face to look like Ronald McDonald or something like that. Anyway, she fills an entire bathtub up with milk and cereal. And she's like, I got my milks and my cereal. And she fills up the bathtub, and she's in there swimming around in this bathtub full of milk and cereal and eating this. And everybody just thought it was so funny that they just passed it on to their doggone friends. Never mind the fact that that whole bathtub full of milk could have went down there to help somebody, some homeless baby somewhere in the world, you know. You know, just the waste and the stupidity and the ignorance of it all. You know, you're gonna put, okay, she paid for it, or maybe she didn't pay for it. Maybe somebody else paid for it. Maybe the government paid for it. But either way, she got to meet the President of the United States and ask this man questions. So, you know, here's this dude here, supposed to be the leader of the free world, is talking to some stupid lady with big giant green lips, caked on like freaking Ronald McDonald, and asking her, and I'm sure they were all pre-planned, pre-scripted questions to, you know, further the agenda. But that's how stupid all this stuff is. You know, they wouldn't talk to somebody like you or I, Barry. They wouldn't allow us to ask the president questions because we might ask the tough questions, you know.
Well, I'd love to get in front of Obama's face for 15 minutes on national TV, but, you know, that'll never happen.
Yeah, take him out behind the woodshed and ask him a few questions.
Well, we can't say that on here because, you know, we're being listened to, and if we say anything like that, they'll be droning us for the next 15
minutes.
Yeah,
I know. I'm going to germ strike my doggone house. There we go. And then the insurance company is going to call it an act of God.
But people got to realize that everything that anybody says anywhere on the internet now is being listened to, monitored, recorded, and put into little files. So,
well, back in the old days,
you know, I don't really care. I don't care at this point. It is
being taken behind a woodshed means that you's going to get a whooping, you know.
Yeah, well, those days unfortunately are gone, and what we're seeing now is just insane. It's absolutely insane.
None of it makes sense.
None of it makes sense, but you know what? When I really started looking at this 5 or 6, maybe I think it was about 7 years ago that I really, really started paying attention to everything. And, you know, what I've seen here just in the last year in acceleration of events, when you really put it into context, it's shocking. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't put it into context, everything that's happened and how they're all interconnected. But when you really sit back and look at it, it is pretty, pretty insane. We're seeing an incredible acceleration of events worldwide right now.
Well, on one hand, they look directly at your face via the TV set and talk about how we got to protect the children. And then on the other hand, they're sending a drone over to bomb somebody's mom and dad into the Stone Age. So
we're giving them 17 vaccinations before they get to preschool. You know?
Yeah.
And more on the way. Boy, I'll tell you, I get into fights with anti-vaxxers or pro-vaxxers all the time.
Well, what makes me mad about the vaccination portion is the fact that they're trying to tell the parents that they're going to throw the parents up in jail if they refuse to give their kids vaccination. And then, to make it even worse, now they got these programs going on at the school where you're not even notified as a parent that your child is fixing to get a shot or having their blood work tested while they're at school. I send my kids to school for an education, not to go there getting medical. You know what I'm saying? If my kids need a doctor, I'm taking them to the doctor.
Well, of course, the whole schooling system we know is completely corrupt right from the bottom to the top. In the United States of America today, it's all working together with the forces to be. But the fact that you could say that in 2015, you're an American citizen with the Constitution, and what it says, the fact that government now can put you in jail because you refuse to have your child vaccinated, yet there is thousands and thousands and thousands of links of information out there on the dangers of vaccines. Where has their society got to? We have to stand up to this. If they get away with this shiz, it's just the tip of the iceberg. We are seeing all of fascism becoming the norm in our society, and people are still watching TV. We're fighting right now for the future and our freedom. You guys are watching TV.
I'm a Christian, so...
I don't get it. Well, so am I, you know that.
Then you and I are potential terrorists, all right?
Well, I am. I'm on the top of the list. I don't care.
But
come and get me.
The whole thing is, man, this government is so backwards. It's just mind-blowing. You know, we talk about these vaccinations out there. We all know the histories of them, and that more people end up dying from vaccinations than the actual disease themselves, and then people with debilitating, crippling diseases after taking vaccines. And then you look back in time and you think about this whole thing. I mean, I lost my train of thought. It's just so nuts. It just drives me insane.
It's hard for anybody of a normal brain to wrap their mind around this when you really, really start looking at what these people do to people. It's hard for us as normal human beings to even understand the way they think. You know, I read a report this week, and it brought tears to my eyes, Shazoo, of a 2.5-year-old girl being diagnosed with bipolar, being diagnosed with this and that. The psychiatrist put her on, gave her 7 or 6 different drugs. At 2.5 years old, the child died at 4 years old. Died.
That's sickening, man.
You know, but this is going on all over the place, and they're just because of what the government has set up.
I remember what it was.
Insanity.
Here's the thing. When you talk about vaccines and the pro-vaccine guys are always calling you nutcase conspiracy theorist after, you know, everybody in the world heard Bill Gates saying stuff like, well, if we do a real good job with vaccines, we can control the population. Hold on a second.
You weren't supposed to say that, Bill.
did he just say that? And one of the wealthiest men in the world just said, if we do a good job with vaccines, we can control the population. Georgia Guidestones, anybody? Hey, break the population down to 500 million and it's good.
For God's sake, is anybody that's pro-vaccinations just has to go on the internet and study what happens in all the other countries in the world that's being kept back. That information's out there. You just got to go look for it. And it'll shock you. It will absolutely shock you. Yet, in North America, what do we have? We have an incredibly corrupt system right from the top to the bottom that supports itself and doesn't give a flying poop.
Yeah, that's right.
The dollar and destroying it.
And there's another thing, too, about this whole North deal. You know, people need to really look up the whole North American Union deal. They really seriously need to look that up because they're all hollering about this border crisis going on when, in all reality, those folks are coming across the doggone border legally according to that North American treaty, which takes all of Canada and all of the United States and all of Mexico and puts it into one area, the North American Union. So they don't want to tell the American people that they gave away their sovereignty and unlocked the border so that anybody can come and go as they wish. Then, because then they'd have a doggone riot on their hand, be like, we didn't vote for this, you know?
Well, of course, but they do it incrementally. They do it behind our backs. Most people don't even know what's going on. A lot of Americans don't know what's going on with the border situation, you know, because, like I said, they're too preoccupied. It's an insane world we live in.
I'm not against immigration because our country is made up of immigration. They're trying to overwhelm the system so that they can collapse the system so they can come rushing in like Superman jumping out of a phone booth saying da 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 da, I'm here to save the day. Really?
Yeah, you say that to a normal person, they'll go, yeah, right. Put your tinfoil hat back on. Right. That's exactly what they're doing. Everything they're doing is designed to undermine our society.
That's exactly.
There's nothing they do that supports the society right now. Nothing. I mean, our Nazi Prime Minister here in Canada is right on board with Mr. Obama. I mean, what he's doing is just a parallel. You know, any Canadians that are out there listening right now, if what I have to say, I would urge you to have a real hard look at what the Libertarian Party is doing in Canada. They have, in the last year, now got constituents in 80% of all the ridings in Canada. This has all happened here in the last 4 months, where we are seeing an incredible group of people in Canada, all under the age of 30. I think the oldest person now involved in the Libertarian Party in Canada is about 48 years old. So what we're seeing in Canada right now, Shaziz, is a tremendous rising of young intellectual people that are jumping on board with the Libertarian Party. We are seeing the party expand right now. I've watched the numbers every week. The numbers are going up by literally thousands now are jumping on board, becoming a member, or joining the party and listening to what this party is saying, because everything they say is exactly what you want to hear out of a politician. Now, we all know politicians lie, but I had the pleasure last week of interviewing Tim Mohan, the leader of the Libertarian Party, on my radio show. And I listened to this man talk for an hour, Shaziz. I want to get him on here and get him talking to people, because this man shoots from the hip. You can tell his heart is real, that he sees everything that's going on, and these people are really, really taking a hard stand, and we are seeing an incredible group of individuals jump on board with this party. It's kind of exciting, because we need another voice. We need a solid voice that actually speaks for the people, and what this party is saying is speaking for the people. They're against everything that Harper is doing. They're against everything that's going on in the United States of America, guys. So have a real hard look at that party, and read the mandate, read their programs, look at the individuals that are getting involved, the notoriety behind the individuals that are getting involved, and I think you'll be impressed. That's all I wanted to say about today.
Well, there's a platform here on Shaziz Radio and all these other affiliated networks that if these folks want to get heard, you bring them up to the table and let them talk, man. We got every bit of equipment that we need to spread the word. You know, there's just so much going on in the world. The whole real ID thing's come back up again. Congress pushes Obama's back national biometric ID card for Americans. You know, they want to track everybody and it's just...
Listen, I see Tim Rhodes online right now. Why don't we take a 5-minute break? I'll call him right now and see if he wants to jump in and talk with you for 10 minutes. You'd really like to listen to what this guy's got to say, guys.
All right, well, I'll throw on... he'll have to add me as a
I'll message him right now. And if I can get him to come on, I'll make the connections, and we'll pull him in here, and you can listen to him talk for 10 minutes. So give me 5 minutes, and I'll see if I can put that together right now for you.
All right, cool.
Yeah, I got to take a bathroom break anyway, so maybe a couple songs, and I'll be right back.
Yeah, I'm gonna play a rowdy song from whenever I was in my youth, back in my hot rod days, Judas Priest.
This would be on the fly, guys, but if I can get Tim in here, please hang in there, because he is really somebody you want to listen to. Let me see if I can put this together right now.
All right, everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Stay tuned.
I'm taking flight, that's the line I'll never take. God's name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Can you?
everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. You can hear the frustration in the individuals around this world, man. And we was having a conversation off air there where Barry had a few ideas and solutions, and I kind of agree with him, man. And it all starts off with you, the person out there. If you don't like the system, then you need to get as many good people into the system to either fix or replace the system. These guys and gals out here that are going to the Senate and the Congress and all the different government agencies, you know, a lot of them start off with a good plan. And then when they get there, they either get bribed, threatened, or whatever in order to toe the line, so to speak. So what I'm trying to suggest here is that anybody out there who has somebody who is getting ready to go into government or thinking about it, then you need to back them 100%. You need to watch them. Build your own private security force and keep them safe so that they can get things done. Because it's the behind the scenes once that senator or congressman gets up there in the midst of the lion's den or the devil's den, whatever you want to call it, of Washington, D.C. in the United States and wherever it is over in Canada, that you got to protect those individuals and let everybody know, hey, anything happens, then we got our eye on you. You know what I mean, Barry?
Well, yeah, and we know what happens to people that get into politics and actually start speaking the truth. They usually end up dead or quashed or destroyed.
Yeah, so, or have a plane crash.
In the last month and a half here, I was talking with the Libertarian Party prior to the break, and I tried to get Tim in here. I'm going to try and get him in next week, guys. I'd really like to listen to, get you guys to listen to what he has to say for half an hour. I'm at a point now to this, and, 10 years ago or 5 years ago, if you told me that I even think about throwing my hat into the political ring, I would have told you you're on drugs. But I'm at a point now with some urging from some of the people in the Libertarian Party that I'm almost at a point where I want to throw my hat into the ring. There isn't a candidate running in our post here right now. And I had a conversation with Tim and a few other people this week on a Skype call. We had a conference call, and I don't have a grade 12 education. I never went to university, and I don't have any degree, but I feel I have a lot of common sense. And
well, the fact that you ain't got no degree makes you a prime candidate for me, because it's the ones with the degrees that I'm worried about, and if I could vote in Canada, I'd vote for you.
Well, one of the platforms that really drew me to the Libertarian Party, and this is one of the biggest problems we have in political systems today in the world, is that, when you get into politics as a Canadian MP, your salary, I think it's been around $150,000 a year as your base salary. After 8 years of public service, you are given a pension of $120,000 a year for the rest of your living years on the planet Earth. The platform of the Libertarian Party is a complete revamping of the pay scale of a politician. Our platform is that nobody in the party will exceed a revenue of $48,000 a year. Okay, that is what the base salary of a Libertarian MP for standing in Parliament will be. The party will stand behind that. And what the party wants to do is we want to get people out of politics for the money and get people into politics for the right reasons. This is one of the things that really drew me to it, because when you really look at how politicians get into politics and how they're corrupted, how the money really sways, they might, like you said, get in with the right intentions, but once they're in there, they're incorporated into the system, the corruption sets in, and they are grabbed up and swallowed down like the rest of them. This whole platform of the party basing a salary on a salary that, today's world isn't great, it's enough to live on, but what it's doing is it's drawing people into the party that are coming in for the right reasons. They're not coming in for the money. We are coming in because we, at this point, if we don't get involved, if you as an individual see all these things going on in our planet and don't feel the urging to get in there and get your hands dirty and have your voice said and spoke and heard, then you're really asleep, because I see right now...
Barry, there's something ironic about what you just said. You're talking about getting in there, getting your hands dirty and stuff like that, and people understand, they're like, maybe that goes in one ear out the other right now, because, right now, they're not forced to get in and get their hands dirty. But if this entire system does what we all believe it's going to do, you ain't going to have no choice but to get your hands dirty.
Yeah.
It's going to be forced. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree absolutely she did, and all we're trying to do right now is to let people know that this is coming, that this is a reality, and, you know, not, then is not the time to get busy. Now is the time to get busy, because, honestly, she says, when the situation in the United States is just beyond anything I could even wrap my head around. If martial law is declared in the United States of America, then all your rights and freedoms are instantly taken away from you. You will not have a chance to stand up against this system if it gets to that point. And we're very, very close to that point. That's the urgency I see and feel in our society today. They have set this up for a long, long time, and we are getting to a pinnacle point right now with the rumors of wars, all this fear, all this terrorism, all these bills coming in to restrict our freedom. Absolute fascist state of government manifesting itself in front of our eyes, and yet people still refuse to see it. On me, I'm fighting because if I don't fight right now, I think my children are going to be given a pile of crap that I wouldn't wish on anybody. Period.
Yeah, that's the biggest key.
I've been praying about this, buddy. Like I said, I've never, even in my life, even thought of a politician. The politicians have always been, to me, liars, cheating, lying, dumb. And here we have a party that actually speaks from their heart and is going in the right direction. Everything they say, I agree with. I don't believe these guys are saying this to get elected. The platform of the party is very, very sound, and it's growing at the speed of light right now, guys. So take a look at it. We want to see change. We have to get involved in something that will actually speak our voice. And libertarian seems to be going in that direction, guys. We know there's always going to be a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but the basis of the platform of the party, I'm supportive, and I'm thinking very, very seriously about getting involved.
It's a good idea, man.
They had a couple years ago, shoot, man. You know, but now I'm feeling that problem, so I don't know. We'll see where it goes.
I liked Ron Paul over here in the U.S. of the Libertarian Party, but I watched all the debates, and they basically pushed him out of the debates. They wouldn't allow him to say anything. And they tried to make him sound like he was stupid, but he was the only one talking common sense, you know?
Well, of course, and even when he was running second in some of the writings, the mainstream media wouldn't even acknowledge he was there.
Yep.
There was so rigged against that guy, and the way the voting system works and the electronic voting they have now, I mean, they can do anything they want. Anything they want.
They call it a two-party system, but we all know the truth.
One-party system.
Yeah, ain't no two-party. It's like
Clinton and another Bush.
It's the WWF, brother. They're out there doing the whole wrestling thing. They're gonna beat each other up and then go to the bar and have a drink.
We got a lady that wants to be the president of the United States of America, pulls off a felony, and she's not even. It's just brushed under the rug. Come on.
Yeah, if that were you or I, we'd be so far into the jail, we'd be speaking Chinese, man.
But her last name is Clinton, so she can't be done.
Well,
protect herself.
I know there's tons of conspiracies out there about the global elite family, but it does seem to me to be ironic, and you know, people out there that say, oh, you're just a tin foil hat wearing nutcase. First off, it's aluminum foil for the 10 millionth time. But either way, if all these names, the Bushes, the Clintons, and so on and so forth, keep on getting reelected over and over and over again, no matter what. And when somebody gets like either 160 to 170% of the vote, how does that occur, man? And how do dead people come up out the ground, go to the voting poll, and vote? And why would they even want to bother if they were already dead?
Why are 12 of the hijackers on the planes in 9/11 still alive today?
Yeah. What?
What's going on there? Hang on for a second. How about them guys die?
and magically one of their ID cards fell out. First off, let me ask you a question. If you were a jihadist and you was getting ready to go do yourself in, would you care about carrying your driver's license?
Well, of course you gotta have. You need to fly the plane, right?
Oh yeah. Well, you wouldn't want to get a ticket.
If we got into 9/11, I mean, that's a conversation that if anybody still out there in this world believes that plane were the reason those towers came down, then they really are totally, totally brain dead.
Well,
because there's literally millions of reports out there and facts that proves the government story is a total pile of crap.
one thing the mainstream media is good at.
Lying.
Yeah, that's it. That's the key, though. One thing they are good at is definitely lying and propaganda, spreading propaganda, because they will get the stupid people to look at the intelligent people as if they were stupid by using terminology such as tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist or, homegrown terrorist or Tea Party or whatever. If you say Tea Party around here, people look at you cross-eyed. Oh, you're one of those, you know. One of those. You should be part of the Tea Party, too. You should be part of the doggone the militia that the Constitution talks about. Every able-bodied man, woman, whatever, you know, to protect the country or whatever. The last line of defense, the Minutemen. But, if you're affiliated that the mainstream media has got you already labeled and pegged as a lunatic, a nutcase. Never mind the fact that Bill Gates is standing up there talking to all the liberals saying, "Well, if we do a good job with vaccination, we can get the population down." Alrighty then.
Yeah, you know, if you do a poll study now in the United States of America and ask the cross reference of 1,000 different Americans if they think their government was involved or there's something phony going on with 9/11, I believe it's 72% or 74% will have to agree that there's something fishy going on, yet Americans still go about their daily business as if nothing happened. And yet, this was the biggest lie in history. It killed 3,000 of your citizens to go to war. The bills and the restrictions put on since 9/11 are absolutely mind-boggling, and it's all based on a lie. And yet Americans go about their daily business as if it's the truth. I don't understand that.
Well, here's the thing about that.
I don't understand it.
This is how that's playing out, and I know this because I live in America and I deal with people on a daily basis, and I'm talking to the average Joe. When the people out there are talking about, the mainstream media says, "Well, we took this poll and so many Americans, 60% of Americans agree." No, I ain't 60% of Americans agree. They take them polls online. Anybody can vote on them doggone online polls. All they got to do is put in an address and say, "Yeah, I live over here in the U.S. They probably live somewhere off in China. They're probably sitting around punching their own numbers. Regardless, I'm talking to the average Joe. And I ain't found one person yet who trusts the mainstream media, with the exception of a few elderly people who are thinking the Democratic Party's trying to protect them from the Republicans stealing their Social Security and such. But the average Joe out here, the only reason why they haven't stood up is because they think they're alone. They've been compartmentalized in believing they have no power. They have no voice. You know, I don't even go vote anymore because it doesn't matter anyway. Well, if that's what you believe, then it's your obligation as a citizen of the United States to walk your vote from point A to point B and make sure it gets in the right box.
Right.
You know, if that's because it's your future, it's your children's future that we're talking about here. And so the average American, they feel just like I do. They feel just like you do. They don't like this stuff, and they're not understanding why it is that they're so pissed off about, like, let's say, Obamacare. A Nancy Pelosi stands up there and says something just totally mentally ill, and everybody bought it. Now, we got to pass this bill to find out what's in it. I was the first one to say, "Whoa, hold on. Put the brakes on a second. We got to pass this bill to find out what's in it. Do you know how dangerous that is?"
Well, that's kind of a little bit of a question. But yeah, I heard that, and that just goes to show you the level of mentality of the people we're dealing with.
Yeah, and everybody's saying, "No, well, we're going to get free health care." It ain't free. It's costing a whole lot of money to them. When they went to file their taxes, I told people this year, I said, "Wait till tax season comes around, and the people are going to be mad, boy." And I know a lot of people that went and filed their taxes expecting to get a chunk of money that ended up owing the government
because of Obamacare.
Yep.
Yep. No, I've read how they started up with the deductibles and everything else, and it is the biggest sham ever put on the American people. And here we are dealing with it today.
Well,
all that could be put aside simply by the American people standing up to what is being lied. I mean, right now, everything that Obama had signed into power could be quashed, guys, could be put right out of your law simply by getting him out of there and identifying from who he is. He's not even an American citizen.
They're talking about getting his wife to be the first lady president.
Michael?
Yeah, that dude that he's
so
married to.
We're going
to
have a transvestite president? Yahoo! Well, that'll be after Bush or Clinton.
Hey, man, after all the madness that we've talked about today, after all the crazy that's going on in the world, would anything at all surprise you in the least?
Nothing would surprise me.
No. I mean, they could put freaking Bozo the Clown in office and make him look like whatever, and it wouldn't surprise me. An alien from outer space could literally land on the White House lawn, little gray bug-eyed alien, jump out and start running for president, and win, and it wouldn't surprise me in the least. There's nothing that anybody could do or say that would surprise me at this point in time. I mean, it's just so crazy.
What's coming next?
Yeah.
What's going to happen this week, huh? I turn on the news every day going, wow, what am I going to see today that's going to blow my mind? And sure as shit, something there that blows my mind every day of the week.
Putin says Russia will help Palestine become an independent state.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now Russia's going to throw their hat in the ring and,
And Israel's shutting down all their embassies worldwide. Did you read that link?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, why would they do that? Now, let me think. Well, guys, come on. The writing is on the wall. The
they're
only
getting
time
ready.
The country closes its embassies and withdraws its diplomats.
They're
gearing up for war, and they know it's coming.
And you know what I believe? And this is just coming from my own view of what I've seen going on with all the deal, and I really can't say is that I blame them, but at the same sense, I'm not really sure what to even think about it. But what I believe is the first strike from World War III is going to start with Israel attacking Iran. That's where I believe the first gunshot's going to go off.
Well, that would be a good trigger point. It would make a logical trigger point at this point. You know, we don't know where it's going to start. The Ukraine could be another trigger point with what's going on there right now.
I'm sure that's probably going to do in there. But here you got Israel's talking about, they're fed up, man. They're talking about, everybody keeps talking about pushing them off in the sea, wiping them off the map and all this kind of stuff. And if that was any other nation, America's continuously telling Israel, we got this. We'll take care of it. Don't do nothing rash, you know. And the bombs still keep going in all different directions. But, you know, whatever anybody thinks about Israel out there, if somebody's going to bomb you, and they keep saying that once they get a nuke, they're gonna wipe you off the map, and then... Yeah, your supposedly strongest ally is over there doing deals with your enemy that keeps talking about bombing you off the map while at the same time shouting death to America in the background. Nothing makes any sense anymore other than I'm going to hit you before you get a chance to hit me kind of deal. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, like I said, what can we do about it, really? Unless there was a mass worldwide awakening against it right now and people stood up against it, I see things playing out. They're gearing up for it. All countries are gearing up for war, and like I said earlier, if it goes nuclear, then we're all in trouble.
Well, I talked about this a while back, how you could actually get some results, and we have a powerful tool right here in front of us. If the average Joe out there, everybody got together and just started flooding their congressmen and their senators' email boxes, I mean just spamming the heck out of them with every bit of, I'm not going to take this, don't you start World War III kind of deal. And then while they're sending all these messages to all the senators and congressmen and representatives of the world, just continuous a flow of emails and information saying we don't want this, And then at the same time, they're on the phone and they're calling them up as well. So now they've got not only emails flooding in, they got phone calls flooding in. And if you can afford to stamp, send a doggone hard letter as well. Don't threaten nobody. Just tell them your opinion. You don't want this stuff going on, and they need to get this stuff in order.
Yeah, demand a meeting.
That's right.
We want to talk to you. You're our elected representative. We put you in power. We want to have a talk with you and go face to face. They're going to take those emails and put them aside. All the phone calls they ignore. We got to get in their faces at this point.
When their computers start dropping like flies because they're overwhelmed with doggone emails and stuff, they'll get the point somebody's trying to get their attention.
Yeah, I agree. But I'll reiterate on the statement. We do have to physically get involved. Go down to your representative's office and say, hey, I'd like to have a meeting with him. And if he gets 100 or 200 requests like that every day, he can't turn his back on it. And you'll get your meeting and get in his face. Look him right in the eye.
Well, those of you who can walk down there. And those of you who can't, get on the phone, get on the cell, get on everything.
Yep. Inundate him.
And just keep the information flooding. I mean, don't be relentless and just keep them coming. If you have to send multiple after multiple after multiple copies, go out and find you one of the little hacker buddies out there and get him to get you one of them spammer email programs where you can email them all in one shot by the dozens.
I posted a link here this week on some of the effects we're seeing in the Pacific Ocean in my local community here, and we have now the local community really been talking about it. And what that does, anytime you make people aware of one issue in society, it immediately sends them on a voyage of discovery, and they'll tie other parts in, and all of a sudden they're going down the rabbit hole. And then they'll experience what you need to experience. As we start going down the rabbit hole, we think we're close to the bottom, and we get down to the bottom, we find a little tunnel going off, and two more rabbit holes going down another 200 to 300 feet. I haven't found the bottom of the holes yet, and I've gone down a long way.
Well, but the Matrix is...
Once you're on that journey, it doesn't stop. I'm seeing that right now with my family. She says, a member of my family now has become awake, and she is absolutely pissed because she has been duped. She listened to what her doctor said. She gave my niece Ritalin. She is now dealing with a 22-year-old that's tried to commit suicide, is on psychotropic, that the medical and pharmaceutical industry has created a drug addict for life, has destroyed her, absolutely destroyed a beautiful young girl because she thought she was doing the best thing because she was duped. You don't think she's mad? You don't think she's out there now screaming at the top of her lungs? You don't think she wants to go down to her doctor's office that told them that Ritalin was the answer for Nicole and grab them by the throat and strangle them? Well, we all should be feeling that way. There's 6 million of these children right now in the United States of America on Ritalin. And it is the most destructive thing that's going on in our society. 34% of any child put on Ritalin by the time they're 27 years old would have committed suicide. Or it's even higher. I don't want to quote, but I've read the reports on this, and it absolutely shocked me. The percentage of these children that are put on psychotropic after they're off the Ritalin is astronomical. It is the most insane thing in our world, man. It's the most insane thing that's going on to our children. I mean, when I was younger, I experimented with just about every drug. I'm not proud of this point in my life, but I've done every drug that's out in the world today, okay? So I know what the effects of these things are. I got them out of my life long, long, 35 years ago. I played around with this crap, and I got to do some cocaine at one point in my life, and I know what kind of a buzz that gives me, okay? I know right to the T what cocaine does to the body. I was at my sister's house one day, I took one of these Ritalin pills and I swallowed it. And half an hour later, I was just flying. I was bouncing off the walls. I felt like I'd snorted 3 lines of coke. And this is what you're putting into the brain of a 12 or 13-year-old developing. The neurological damage being done is almost unrepairable. I won't say it's not repairable because reports now on the effect of naturals on the repair of these things in people's brains is inspiring. I won't get into that right now, but there is things we can do to repair it, but the damage is just incredible. And all they're doing is creating a drug addict for life. They feed them Ritalin when they're in school. When they come out of school, they're so messed up, they've got to go on an antidepressant.
Well, and they're right there, what you said, that's a key. A drug addict for life is a future customer for life. And that's what these drug companies are doing. They don't care whether or not you're on drugs. And that's another thing. The government don't care whether you smoke dope or not, because they're making money off of it regardless whether you smoke it or not. Anyway, they're getting money in all different directions. When they throw you in jail, they still make money off you being in jail.
Now, part of the platform of the Libertarian Party is to really attack that aspect of our society. They're all aware of it, and they're all against it. I'll say about that, okay? They would promote natural, promote anything, promote organic gardening. I look at what Denmark's doing right now, how their government is promoting organic gardening. Tim Mullins would go down the exact same route. We are going to get away from everything that's detrimental to our society and start putting good food and nutritious food into people's bodies, and all these problems we see in our society will disappear. It's all about what we eat. We look at our food, man, it's laden with pesticides. We look at the amount of glyphosate that's showing up in all aspects of our society now due to products like Roundup. We look at everything that's going on with the pesticide world. We look at the fact that now, the report I just read on the honeybees, that scientists are screaming at the top of the lungs that 2 or 3 years they will be extinct. I mean, what does that mean, like extinct? Like, I mean, our agricultural system is based on the honeybee, and yet we're looking at destroying the honeybee?
Yeah.
We're seeing mass starvation on this planet, and when people start going, well, we've got to start doing something about this, it's going to be too late.
Well, you know, on the good side of that, at least you'll be able to go to the chemistry supply department, a.k.a. grocery store, and buy you some red dye number whatever, or monosodium glutamate.
Gotta get the blinders off people of looking at the now. And what we are indoctrined to believe is necessary right now at this point in our life. The new car, nice house, turn on the TV, 62-inch, get a new smartphone, get this, get that, get this. It's all BS, man. None of it's going to mean nothing in the very, very near future. We have to completely change the way we think, completely change the way we treat this planet, and the way we treat our health, man. We're seeing unbelievable spirals in childhood diseases, man. They're going right off the charts, and they're accelerating. Just autism alone, if that doesn't shock the crap out of people, then they really have got their heads in the sand. The numbers are just going up and up and up, a direct parallel to the graphs in vaccines, up and up and up. You could put the graphs over top of each other, and they're almost a shadow image of each other. If you tell me that's coincidence, guys, you got to look at this stuff. I mean, it's just insanity. I get pissed. I get so pissed about the ignorance of society to stuff that is so black and white in front of us right now.
I'm agreeing.
You have to take the time as a responsible person to look at this information. For God's sake, look at the legacy we're leaving right now for our children. Look at what's going to be like this world in 10 years. We're seeing unbelievable, unbelievable die-off of animals around this world. I looked at the numbers from last year, Shazam, and unless you take a look at these numbers, it won't hit on you. You'll still turn on the TV, and there's still going to be a football game on there. Yet we're seeing a die-off of species around this planet like never, ever experienced before in human history. That's a fact. And if that doesn't shock you, the reality that the whole ecosystem is and will collapse if we don't make major changes right now. I mean, we have to stand up as a race and say, hey, we want this hemp plant worldwide.
Yeah,
we want all the pesticides to stop. We will deal with the insects. We want to stop the GMOs. We want to stop the BS going on with vaccines. Unless we do that shit, I see us doomed as a species. I don't see this species living another 100 years the way we are going right now. I'm not a fearmonger, but I'm realistic. I look at what we've done just in nuclear power to this planet in the last, 60 years, and how it's been sold to us and the pile of coal behind that. And what it was really brought into society for, what it's doing to the planet right now, it just boggles my mind. Who gave us the right to do this to the planet? The last 4 generations, we have the right to put things on this planet that the next 100 generations, if we're still alive, are going to pay for?
Well, it's going to come down to the average Joe having to stop. The average Joe has to stop voting for the lesser of two evils. The average Joe has to stop paying for the lesser of two evils. You know, I say this all the time. you know, we're spending their funding money. That's a given, all right? And we're allowing them to do all kinds of stuff to us that a normal person wouldn't allow to be done to you under, you know, the guise of, as long as I got my funding money coming in from the government every month, then everything's all right, you know? But until people stop feeding the beast, then the beast is going to continue to do what it does, you know? One of the things is, there's a lot of people in Hollywood who mock anything to do with religion and God and so on and so forth. But even if you're a non-believer out there, and you're looking at the TV, and you see everybody glorifying satanic-looking deal. They're all up there. It's fun. It's cool. You know, let's aggravate the Christians by throwing up the sign of Satan or whatever. Let's do a satanic ritual on TV. And you're still watching that TV? You're complicit in it because they're making money off you via their advertisers. As long as you're willing to sit down and spend the time watching that program, you know, I will deliberately skip over a channel that I disagree with just so that they don't get the ratings, you know, just so that they don't know, nobody, you know, it's like a hit counter on a website. You click on it, that so many people visit that website, and then that website gets a rating due to how many people go to that website. Same thing with channels. That's how they make money. So if you're going to watch the trash, they're going to get paid for putting the trash out. And the same thing with the news. People tune in to find out all the calamity going on in the world, and they're getting paid. These guys aren't going to talk about real solutions. It's like what the lady and the dude in that video that we were talking about were saying, that as long as there's bodies laying around, then you can keep the fear going and you can sell more guns and drugs and ammunition. These guys they cornered the market on evil, man. That's all there is to it. And it's going to take the average Joe to realize that you have power. You have power in your words. You have power in your money. You don't have to go to Walmart and buy products from Walmart that you know that some child in a third world country made under slave labor conditions. You know, do a little bit of research before you go out. I ain't got no time to be researching that. So I'm just going to go to the grocery store and buy my bag of Fritos or whatever, and I'm not even going to read the bag. I'm just going to eat it, and if it makes me sick later on down the line, you know, it's a live wild and die young kind of attitude. These folks out there in the companies, they love you, man. Go buy your doggone Prozac, your Ritalin, your Luvox, your Viagra, you know. Get your happy on. It may cause you a heart attack, but that's okay. We got drugs for that too. We'll put you in a digital pacemaker. Oh man!
Yeah. Action solution.
Yeah.
We have it all covered, man. We always do. We always will.
Man, I'll tell you. Anybody with common sense is looking down. Our minds, your mind and my mind, and I'm sure a bunch of other people's minds are just freaking spinning. I mean, it's just a buffet of stupidity and ludicrousness that brings me to the point where I'm typing in the chat room and says, if I were the devil, I'd run around smacking everybody with a banjo. Because it's the only thing that makes sense.
It's like, it's overwhelming. It is, and I find myself, I have to kind of focus on only certain things because there's so much out there right now going on that it really just puts their minds into a state of bogglingness. That's how I explain it. I see all these things that happen, that are happening, that are all parts of a puzzle, and they really are, but now they're all starting to come together very, very quickly, and it really, really boggles your mind. But try and focus on certain things, but I know what you're saying, buddy. It's just an unbelievable pile of unbelievable hypocrisy happening all over the planet, and it seems like there's still very few of us. I know the numbers that are growing, but are identifying and realize that it's the time to get active and not to sit and just talk about it. You know, the way I really feel that we can beat or really put a dent in the system is starting from the bottom up, and I've talked about that a lot. Just in your own personal life, changing your eating habits, changing the way that you buy, changing the way that you shop, Every time that you can, and I know it almost sounds like a little thing, but it's a huge thing. Anytime you can stop supporting a corporation, any kind of corporation, is taking a little tiny piece out of the wheel. And if all of a sudden, if 300 million Americans started doing that, the wheel wouldn't run quite as well as it was. The wheel would start looking at itself and going, what do we have to do to get back to where we were before? Because they will do that, of course. And that sounds like kind of a hodgepodge, but that's exactly how corporations work. They're about the dollars. They're about selling products to people. If they see changes in society, they'll be forced into making changes. We have to attack the corporations because they are the ones that support government. They're lobbying. It's all a big revolving door circuit that we're dealing with. Well, you look at what's going on with Monsanto and how it's a revolving door with the FDA, the CDC, and the American government. If people just study that alone, you go, wow.
You gotta look at the hypocrisy of the wealthy people of this world out there. When you got some lady who is filthy, stinking rich, talking about how we got to feed the babies of the world, but yet she is still filthy, stinking rich, but she's asking you, the working poor, to empty your wallet out and playing on your heartstrings. And she is making money for the doggone commercial, or maybe she's even doing it for a charity, but she can get a tax donation off of that anyway. But either way, the media company, the news company, they're actually making money off of the commercial as well. And so you have to ask yourself right here, these hypocrites out there, if the mainstream media gave a hoot about children in the world starving to death, they would donate airtime in order to make sure it was solved. And if this lady was filthy, stinking rich, and she really cared about the deal, me personally, I'd go broke because I'd be spending all my money trying to take care of these kids over there. If I had the access to the funds that she had.
I'd love the mainstream media just to say on mainstream one night that if one of these F-35 new fighters that the American military wants to buy was not bought and that money was put out in the world, we could feed everybody on this planet for the next 3 years. One military aircraft that is going to come out of your taxpayers' dollars and go directly into the banking elite corporate of the world.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second. Just think about that for 1 second. All that money that's going to these offshore banks under the guise of protection could be spent and feed everybody on the planet for the next, I looked at the facts, how much it would cost, how much these things cost. 3 years. No famine, no starvation on the planet. All that money put into agricultural system, organic gardening, solar panels. God, what a change.
But instead, that jet is going to fly over and bomb
some innocent person.
And then,
bed at night.
When it finally gets around to it, it's either A, going to get shot out of the sky, or eventually get decommissioned and scrapped into maybe more bombers or bullets or whatever. And so, if you followed the money from the time it come out the taxpayer's pocket all the way into the time it was bought for the military and then shipped overseas, because it costs money to get them from point A to point B. There's fuel costs to get there, or fuel costs for the aircraft carrier to take it there. Either way, not only is it the price of the plane itself, but it's the price of the maintenance and the upkeep and the fuel and all that added into the bombs that are dropped and so on and so forth. So you just took what would have been several billion dollars for a doggone bomber and made it into even more money that is going to take in order to keep that thing flying through the air and dropping bombs on somebody. All that money could have been diverted into solving some sort of issue in this world, such as starvation or homelessness.
Well, exactly. But, of course, we're not doing that because the military-industrial complex controls our planet. The banks control that. Well, that's what we have to identify. It to me, should this... All these wars, if you really study them, and we won't go down that rabbit hole today, but I spent quite a bit of time studying Al-Qaeda and the funding behind it, how it started. I've studied a lot of these terrorist activities over the years, and I can't bring up all the links right now and tell you what I've seen, but I don't retain all the information. I can't throw it out in front of you right now, but the bottom line is they create the problems. they create the situation so they can go to war, so they can funnel money out of society. And that's exactly, in a nutshell, what they've been doing for the last how many years. We see now America absolutely on the brink of financial collapse. More money has been spent on fighting terrorism in the last, since 9/11, than I can't remember the exact figures, than ever before in history. I mean, it's just unbelievable the amount of money that's been spent to go fight terrorism. Terrorists that they create fund and are their friends, buddy, and that's the bottom line. It's such a hypocrisy in our society. And now what have we done? We've gone overseas, we've killed thousands of innocent children. I mean, I love my children, man, and I think about these people over there that really are just totally innocent, and they are, their children are killed for a dollar for some bankster that doesn't give a flying hoot about him, his family. It just, I mean, we got to put a stop to this, guys. We got to identify this and really say, hey, sit down at your table with your friends and neighbors and say, hey, you know, this is really what's going on in our world. What can we do to stop it? And there is things that we can do. We can support ideas and new concepts in our society and people that really, really want to make change. If you know people that really want to make change, get behind them, like Shazza said. Because if we don't do that, guys, I really feel like we're in bleak history right now, our future. Shazza, that's all I'm going to say for a few minutes. But that's what I really feel needs to happen. We need to put aside our divisions of society. I mean, if you look at the divisions put into our society over the last 30, 40 years, well, all those divisions have been put into our society for a reason. It's all part of a huge plan. That's what I can never begin to wrap my mind around it. I know these people have sat in these think tanks, you know, 50, 60 years ago, and they have manipulated society in a nutshell to get us right to where we are right now.
Well, as long as they can keep the body count up, as long as they can keep you in fear, you will go along to get along just so that you're not the one starving or getting shot.
Exactly. And it blows your mind when you take in the realm of the plan. But the plan was there, and it's been implemented, and it seems to be working pretty good for them right now.
Well, they talk about a one-world government, and they talk about Illuminati and the Freemasons and all these secret societies of the world, but when it all boils down to follow the money and you'll find the culprit, the crook, the criminal, the person behind the scenes stirring the pot. You know, if you're an arms dealer and you're selling to both sides, you make out like a bandit. And these guys know that. They know that if they can let the illegal gun and drug trade go on, that they can make money off of throwing you in jail because of fines and everything else under the sun. Not to mention all the get-off-of-drugs medicine that they'll give you. They'll give you some sort of dope, some Ritalin or Prozac or Luvox to get off your drugs, you know, which is essentially what they do, just put you back on drugs.
I know. I don't know how the human mind can take all this in.
It's too much. And that's why the average Joe is the way they are today, because they think it's too damn big. We can't do nothing about it, but you can. You can do something about it by doing like Barry said, and going and sitting down at your neighbor's coffee table and having a respectful conversation and asking them what do they think about this deal. Chances are they probably think the same way you do.
Yeah, you know what, and when you start doing that, and people really start to sit down and go, hey, you know what, maybe this really is a threat to my children. You know, we all love our children. We look at them every day. They go to school. We want the same thing. We want to be able to say to ourselves that they're going to reach our age, and they're going to have children, and they're going to enjoy what we have enjoyed in this world. And right now, guys, we cannot say that. We cannot look in the mirror and say to ourselves that our children are going to enjoy the same thing that I got to enjoy being raised on this planet. I'm 60 years old now, and when I was 10 years old, I remember what things were like. I have a vivid memory of my childhood and how I've seen it change. And I say to myself today that if I look in the mirror and say, are my children going to have what I had? I can't look and say, there's no way I can look in the mirror and say, yes. And when you really kind of grasp that whole idea that what we're doing right now isn't for our benefit, it isn't because we need a new car. We don't need a new car. We don't need a big house. We don't need new flooring on the floor. We need to take any available funds that we can get our hands on and support things that fight against what's destroying our future. If we all did that, if we all drove old cars, okay, so you don't need a new car. Well, look at the money. that, okay, so the economy's not going to do great about that, but what if you took that money and all of a sudden you ran into a gentleman like Chizis, who's got some incredible ideas about free energy, but needs a little funding that could make a monumental change on this planet? Wouldn't that be a kind of a bonus to give to your children for the future?
Yep.
These are the kind of thoughts that go through my head every day. If we could just get people thinking to change, that to look at the future as something that isn't ours to destroy, it's something that we need to protect. And then when you sit down, and I sit down some days and I go, wow, you know, as a person coming through my life until I kind of really woke up to this crap, I would do too. I you know, support the corporations. Oh, I need a new car, I've got to have this, got to have that. Well, my thinking changed. I don't need any. If I have a roof over my head and food in my stomach, that's all I need at this point in my life. I don't want to support corporations. I don't want to support the government because the government's putting it up us with every day of our lives. I try to do everything I can to fight the system now. Everybody started changing thinking and went that way. We see changes in our society because it really gets you on a journey of discovery and a journey of responsibility and a journey of realizing that what we're talking about isn't tinfoil hat crap, that we're really dealing with some serious issues here that if we don't deal with them, they're not going to go away, buddy. They're not. They're just going to get worse and worse and worse.
Well,
and, you know, I'm 60, so this, if I die tomorrow, so be it. But I really like to think that my children are going to have some kind of a future on this planet. I just don't see it right now.
We are the founding fathers, the mothers, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, cousins, and so on, of our children and our children's children's future. We are laying down the paving stone for them right now. And what I see going on in modern day society is this, you know, the average Joe will basically make sure that if they got to go to work, that their children is somewhere safe. Well, a lot of people are just pretty much putting their kids in school, and the school's the babysitter, and trusting that the school's going to not indoctrinate them or do something bad to them. But you need to be part of that, you know, the PTA or whatever, parent-teacher association. Be proactive in the whole deal. It's a little extra work, but you got to protect your child. Right now, the world's on fire and the people are on vacation. And so, you know, in order to ensure that your children aren't consumed by the fire, this madness that's going on in the world, somebody got to get up off the couch. Somebody's got to get some community organizations going in the neighborhood. And I'm not talking about lobbying to save the freaking trees, for Pete's sake. I mean, get out there and plant some trees. All right, don't stand there with your doggone sign saying, you know, stop cutting down the trees. Get out there and plant some trees. If you see somebody chopping down 10 of them, plant 20 of them. All right?
Yeah.
That's the difference. You know, it's easy to get out there and protest, but it's harder to get out there and actually do some work. You know, I you keep talking about Paul Watson from Whale Wars, whatever anybody thinks about them guys or their past or whatever shenanigans, whatever. They know that there's whales out there being killed on masses that could eventually put the whale population to extinction. And so they're out there physically in boats, and they're chasing around the people trying to whale. All right, well, they're doing something. All right, something is better than nothing. Anything's better than nothing. If you're driving down the road and there's trash all over the side of the road, and you just kind of turn your head and say, oh, well, those people just ought to stop throwing trash. Now stop somewhere safely, get a trash bag, pick that stuff up, and when you see somebody throwing the trash on the side of the road, throw that trash in the back of their truck and say, put it in the right pile next time, jerk. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. How we think and how we treat the planet has to change. We're actually the guardians of this planet, and we've done the opposite.
We're supposed to be caretakers, Barry.
We are.
We're doing a crummy job of it.
Well, you know, if the last 1,000 years, everybody kind of left the planet the way they found it, and the next generation got to enjoy the fruits and what this planet can actually provide. But we look at the last just 100 years of human history, and when we really put it into context, we have absolutely destroyed the most magnificent creation God ever made. And here we are now at a point where we see our biosphere collapsing, we see the fish dying off, we see our oceans dying, we see birds dropping out of the sky at unprecedented rates, we see the honeybee virtually on the verge of extinction. And you don't think this is going to impact your children, folks?
You know what I see?
Going to have You don't think we're going to see crap on this planet that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy? Well, that's what I honestly believe I see coming. And I'm not crazy. You got to be realistic. You got to look at what's going on and what we can do now to change it.
Ted Nugent put a song out called Free For All, man. And if you watch all the riots that go on around, the mob mentality, the free for all, whenever people like the Rome is burning and they're bashing in trying to get something, you know, it's crazy. If there was ever a argument for evolution that people came from monkeys or whatever, it would be the sheer case of how ignorant that people act during mobs whenever they start destroying their own communities to try to prove a point to the government. I mean, you're not over there protesting the police. You're over there protesting your neighbors, your brothers and sisters. You're stealing from your own community. You're burning your own community down. There ain't no common sense. That's animalistic, man. That's sheer stupidity. Go over and burn your own freaking town down just because you're mad because a cop did something wrong. If the cop did something wrong, then take him in there to court or whatever and hold him legally accountable for his crimes and don't take it out on your community. And that's the problem. The problem is out there that people are focusing their energies in the wrong doggone direction.
Right, and that's being manipulated.
Yeah, don't protest the government out there and stand in the street when they're going to send the thugs over there to beat you up and pepper spray and hit you in the face with tear gas canisters and rubber bullets and stuff.
Yep.
You know, get on the phone. Go there in public. Put your nice suit on there and go stand there in the midst of the whole deal and respectfully tell them what you think. You know? And then If all else fails and the government's so tyrannical that you're totally peaceful and you ain't done nothing and you're getting beat up and shot and whatever, then use that power of the United States Constitution to take that government back to where it belongs, to the people. And I'm not an advocate of anybody using any kind of violence towards anyone. But if it comes down to they're going to kill your children, they're going to take away everything you got, and you can't just stand idly by, and your back is forced to the wall. That's why that United States Constitution says we the people in bold on the top. And that's why the Declaration of Independence was written the way that it was written. If the government gets to completely out of control where it's no longer for the people, by the people, then it's time to abolish that government and start off fresh. And you can abolish that government just by spending your money or not spending your money. They get the point. When you empty the wallet, they get the point. When you stand there with a protest sign, they laugh at you because you're making them money.
Hey, that's why people, you know, anybody listening right now, punch in the nationalliberty.org and see how many people have jumped on board with this organization. There is a mechanism that anybody listening to my voice right now can jump on board, support, and have a major impact on the court system in the United States of America. They are being inundated by thousands now of attacks from all angles, from people involved.
Well, give me links and we'll post them.
Please do, guys. Please take a look at what John Durash is doing. And it is growing in leaps and bounds. I'm listening into the calls on Monday night on Shake and Wake. We have he does a 2-hour show on Monday night where they tell everything that's going on right across from the country. They have people calling in from all the different states that are organizing all the different groups. All the representatives are in place. All the common law grand juries are now legal. They are attacking the court systems in the United States in a way that we have to do this, because if Shaziz, and I've talked about the biggest fear I have right now in America is Americans getting to a point where they go violent on the street in mass against this government. Because if that happens, you are going to see what the government wants to happen.
You cannot win a second civil war.
Right now, Shaziz, we cannot win this with violence. Okay, because if we go that route, we're going to play, and I've said this many times, and this is what I see, we're going to play right into their hands. This is what they want. This is what they're pushing. That's why the division. That's why the ramping up of racism, the ramping up of these events. That's why we have professional perpetrators in these crowds trying to ramp these groups up. and get them into a state of what we call mass mentality. And that is something we really have to guard against, because if you get to a state of martial law in the United States of America, you are going to lose it all, and you will never, ever, ever be able to get it back without a total bloodbath across the nation. Period. All I got to say about that, that is one of the biggest things I fear for people in the United States of America. When martial law is declared, Obama's written, what, 1,000 executive orders since he's become president. The wording in these executive orders, 80% of Americans right now couldn't tell you the implications of the executive orders that have been signed, but they've all become active the moment that martial law is declared. They're setting us up for the biggest takedown in history.
Yeah.
I warn people that this is the mechanism. It would take nothing to start a major event in the United States of America. When you think of what they could use against, numbers don't mean a difference. Numbers don't mean a difference. So if you wanted to create an absolute situation of chaos, they could either use a biochemical weapon, they could use a nuclear attack on a small American citizen, they could use the all kinds of mechanisms that they could all of a sudden
they're doing it under the guise of the laws
that are being passed are shocking.
Under the guise of humanitarianism, peace and love, and taking care of the children, when in all actuality, all they're doing is overloading the system. Sister Tracy typed in the chat room, empire and colonialism, rich men in London still deciding the planet's future. Well, that's because the average peasant out there that's working for the pennies has to go and purchase with those pennies that are gathered up. If you work for an hour for a dollar or two or three or whatever, and then you go to the empire's place of business and you buy their product for a 300% markup that they had other peasants on the other side making for less than 50 cents, then you are the one that are keeping them rich. You personally are the one that is feeding the beast. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And also she said in there about imported religions of the problem is way beyond the president's scope. Well, this hasn't got nothing to do with religion. This hasn't got nothing to do with religion because I'm a Christian and I'm not even religious. I subscribe to no religion. All right, and I'll go into that some other time. But either way, this is about divide and conquer. This is about you got to hate the Jew, you got to hate the Christian, you got to hate the Muslim. It's about keeping all of us fighting amongst each other while they making more money off of all the death and destruction. It hasn't got nothing to do with religion. And as far as the president being a puppet or not a puppet or whatever, if the president's standing in front of a microphone that is connected to the world and he shouts out like JFK did right before JFK got shot for telling everybody he was going to expose all this stuff that was going on behind the scenes, if he's standing there shouting it out and he's a puppet, his children are going to suffer in the future just along with everybody else. So he's got something to lose there. He should be the first one. If I was president of the United States, I guarantee you I'd get shot because I would be pointing all of this stuff out. But you can't confuse the two. The black man against the white man against the Mexican guy and so on and so forth. All of those are games being played by global elitists of this world, government-controlled medias, the government in itself. You know, we have heard a phrase that's come around here recently about destabilization of nations. Look around you and see how many nations have been destabilized. And look around and look at the United States. United States is being destabilized. They are giving everybody everything that they want as fast as they can to rack the bill up as high as possible in order to collapse the system to where now they can rush in and say, well, there's only one way to fix this. We need a world currency to make it equal for everybody else out there. But who's in charge of the world currency? The same guy behind the scenes.
Of course, and if your economy is stable, we'll fix that up. We'll just come in there and we'll put in who we want for power, and then we'll get the central bank in there, and that'll be it. Your economy will be stabilized too. Every economy in the world is stabilized right now. There isn't a country in the world.
That's right. And it's all by design. The empire, it was your problem action solution that you talked about, Barry. That was the whole deal. They started the problem, and here's the thing. If you're the guy with all the money and you're starting all the problems and you're making all the money, there ought to be a red flag there.
Of course. And you know what? The thing about it is that, you know, they're pretty sneaky. They do this incrementally over many, many years in society. So society doesn't recognize what's going on. It's like if I was to take a show off TV right now and take it back to 1962 and put it on ABC and air it on prime time on a Monday night, there would be 10 million people standing out ABC door the next day with hatchets and forks ready to kill the ABC executive. Yet what comes on TV now is accepted by society, and that has been incrementally done over many, many, many years to get society to accept what is now being put across. All I'm saying, Bud, is that everything we see right now was planned and thought about many, many years ago. You don't bring a nation of power like the United States was in the 50s, the most powerful nation in the world, the richest nation in the world, the healthiest nation in the world, and bring it to today where it is the poorest nation in the world, the sickest nation in the world. What has changed? It's been done incrementally over a period of time, but it brought us to this point in history where now we see a complete collapse of all the economies in this world, a very, very, very real possibility. It's a bubble. The bubble cannot continue to blow up without bursting. People have to realize that what we're seeing right now is we are looking at a monetary collapse worldwide. We're looking at them bringing in the power at that point to implement a one world currency, because the world will be in total disarray. People will be in a state of tyranny when people's brains get subjected to that kind of disarray. Their brains will basically do anything that the government tells them to do at that point. That's something that we have to recognize and address. The other thing that's going to happen, you know, I won't get into this. I don't want to get into any more rant about this. Like, we're getting short on time.
Yeah, we're down to the wire.
But really, I don't, like I said to you, I've never ever professed to be an expert at anything. But I study these reports from people that are experts. There's a new release out by the Prophecy Club, an incredible organization. The guy was a CIA agent for years. But if you look at who these people are that are saying this information, he just released another video that I watched, and every economics professor and every economic professional in the world is saying the same thing, that this bubble has to collapse, that it cannot continue to go the way it is. So we're being set up for a collapse. We have to realize what they're going to do when that collapse comes, and we have to prepare ourselves for it.
That's right. And with that said, folks, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. If you like this podcast, it'll be up here pretty soon. Rebroadcast it or ship it over to somebody else so they can hear a little bit of common sense and craziness. You know, it's going to be you. It's going to be you standing up cleaning your own neighborhood. It's going to get the deal going. You're going to have to get proactive if you care about this world. And I'm not talking about violence. And I'm not talking about standing out there with a sign saying, save the trees or whatever. I'm talking about you getting out there and planting trees and doing something real. You know, go out there and plant some gardens and feed some people. And instead of giving your money to some middleman, take it directly to the source and take care of that problem. Now, we got enough people out here, we could get things done if we really seriously want to do it. Tell people on your Facebook and your YouTube and all your social networks about what's going on here at the Knights of the Round Table. And if you agreed, come on here and be a Knight of the Round Table. Be an honorary knight. Just put pertinent links in the chat room and such, you know. That's what this is all about. We, like you said, Barry, we are the ones that's going to make the kids' future that they're going to have to. What we do today is going to define the world they live in tomorrow. And that's why I want to, and I know you want to, and many others want to make sure that we leave something, a legacy of decency behind. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, at least try. We have to be able to look at our children and say, well, we were aware of it and we tried, okay?
Yep.
But we don't want to be looking them in the face and saying, hey, we were aware of it and we didn't do anything about it. I don't want to do that. I know you don't, guys.
Well,
just look at the scope of it, that's all.
Don't fall for their divide and conquer. Don't fall for their money-making schemes. You know, throw your future to the wind on a whim or a roll of a dice. Use some common sense, do some research, and there's many brilliant individuals out here that'll help you and find the information that you need, so on and so forth. Keep the links flowing. We'll keep posting them. Peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to the Knights Roundtable. I'm going to play us up out of here with Paul Harvey's If I Were the Devil. Because, man, if you don't believe that there's a devil, you need to look around. If there ain't a devil, then somebody sure has done a good job of pretending. All right? So, peace and love, everybody. Take care.
If I were the devil. If I were the devil. If I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, Our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
Old woman! Man! Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What? I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet!
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet! I order you to be quiet!
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routine to call the scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsing-able. We're off from mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Terrible, and the Knights of the Round Table.